Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people and my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle, Throwback Radio, Rap, EM Radio. Oh, yeah.
Virtue research being done at the Hart Foundation. Well, before we get into any other topics, just exactly, Anvil, what kind of research are you involved in at the Hart Foundation?
Well, I'll tell you something, Ivy League. At the foundation, Jimmy Hart has set aside many, many rooms for many, many different purposes. We got a high-flying room, so the Hart Foundation keep up with all the high flyers. We got a weight room. We have one heck of a secretary who's very, very efficient.
And we got a psychiatrist who analyzes and comes up with what's in the minds of our opponents. So we have an advantage all the time. Because we know what they're thinking before they think it.
Well, speaking of your opponents, I would imagine foremost on your mind, Anvil, and of course, Brett the Hitman's would be the tag team champions,
you know,
the British Bulldogs.
You're always asking us questions. Right. Well, let me ask you a question, all right?
Be my guest.
What exactly is a female dog?
Answer that one, Brett.
Well, it's called a bitch, is the term.
A what?
Call it, the terminology is a bitch. We're referring to a female dog.
That's the Bulldog's new manager.
It's bad enough. It's bad enough that you gotta take orders from a dog, but you gotta take orders from a bitch.
Boy, they're really using their brains, aren't they? They should have a foundation of their own.
Does she got a little tiny belt she wears around too?
Gorilla, what can I say? We'll be back with more great primetime action right after this.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
Hey, we're back. Did you miss us?
Of course they did.
I know they did. Everybody's asking about us.
That ain't no lie.
That You starting already?
That's what I'm here for.
You like this hat? You better like this hat. That's no lie.
Welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are, well, we're not live right now, but we will be live on Rant EM Radio.
See.
See. I am the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray.
The Messiah Memories. The Jesuit of...
Jesuit
of juxtaposition, juxtapate, I don't know. What
the fuck is wrong with you?
Everything.
Holy shitballs. Choppy's back.
Yes.
What's up, friend?
The asshole face.
The asshole face.
Hello, everyone. Fuck bags of all ages.
Fuck bags of all ages, he says.
Okay, terrific.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. We apologize. Between work and our families, and there's vacations, and there was a bunch of shit going on. Choppy's been working like a dog, legitimately. So,
you saw how I was when I was filthy when I picked you up.
Yeah, yeah. Which was a fucking godsend, man. So, I text Choppy. Make sure he was on for tonight. He's like, I said, by the way, where are you tonight? He goes, oh, I'm in Silver Cup Studios, which is a very famous movie recording place.
Correct. Basically where they shot the Princes of the Universe music video for Queen.
Yep.
Is at the stage.
And the Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show was shot there as well. Yep.
So where Bill probably drugged all those women.
I'm sure he did. God bless him.
Yep. God bless him, he says. So turns out I work 2.5 miles away from where Choppy lives, where Choppy works. I'm like, yo.
By the way, it took me 2.5 miles. Took me 40 minutes to get to.
Well, yeah, because it was rush hour. But
fucking Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah, Queensboro Bridge was a shit show. But you were coming my way anyway.
So yeah.
I had good looking out. So here we are. It's Thursday. It is August the 16th, I believe it is, right? Am I?
You are correct, yes.
Okay. And so you'll get this. I'm sorry this is not live. We'll be back live next week, hopefully. That, like I said, there's just way too much stuff going on. You know, sometimes being a grown-up sucks.
It does. I mean, first off, I just want to... I don't know if anyone heard, but me and the missus are with a second child now. And I just want to say... thank you for everyone that showed up to the festivities on last Saturday.
Yeah, when Brie announced that she was pregnant, I got a little worried because I'm very superstitious. I wanted her to wait, but she didn't want to wait. So I pulled her aside, and I said, hey, you know, you feeling all right? She said, yeah, I'm a little nauseous, whatever. Things are starting to change already. And I'm like, yeah. Where'd you start getting the sickness from? You know what she said to me?
I got it from a Negro.
So you better make sure that you're a kid.
Oh, don't worry about it.
All right?
I mean, if he starts, you know, calling you an asshole right out of the...
out of the womb?
Yeah, it's definitely mine. Will you stop? And I just want to say I love you very much, baby, and thank you again for providing me with another child. Thank you.
I want to give a shout-out to Spectrum Cable for not providing enough programming for Choppy to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Spectrum has dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, Choppy. Spectrum was, you know what, thank you guys, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have my second kid coming out of the way.
Or he just had enough, he had internet speed to stream all his porn while he was having his sex.
That could have been that, too.
Yeah, that, too. So, anyway, yeah, so I've been working like an animal. My wife was on vacation.
Yep.
She was in Europe, so she came back, and that was fun. We're going to get her on the show eventually because she wants to talk some wrestling, and she wants to talk about a fucking trip to Paris, France, and London, England. Hello.
Hello.
She didn't have time to meet up with Baz and all of them. I said, the next time you go, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be a fucking soccer hooligan. I'm going to go to West London with all my fucking soccer hooligan friends. I'm going to drink. I'm going to chant. I'm going to throw things. I'm going to fucking, you know. I was talking to Ben Roberts the other day, a buddy from Ring Wars, and Ben got a visa denied. He wants to come for WrestleMania next year. But apparently he got pinched a couple of years ago in a drunken rage and something with a brick in a window, like a Kempetera type thing.
Oh, boy.
And they denied his visa. He was like, oh, you can buy a fucking gun in Walmart, but they can't want to give me a visa. And I was like, oh, here we go. Another fucking Englishman picking on Americans again.
There it is.
But... just for the record, though, and he's half right. He's half wrong because you can't buy a fucking gun in every Walmart.
Only in certain parts of the country.
Certain parts of the country you definitely can, but not where we are. Like in New Jersey, you can't
go. New York, New Jersey.
And Connecticut.
I believe Connecticut as well.
You can't. I don't even think anything on the Northeast. I don't even think, even Southeast. I don't think you can buy a gun in Philly either.
I think you can buy it in PA.
In PA.
Certain areas of PA, because I've been to Stroudsburg and you can go anywhere.
In Walmart, though?
I think so, but I would have to double check.
Well, either way, it's fucking tragic they don't give him a fucking visa because he got fucking pinched for for drunken lewdness.
That's his fucking fault. Fuck him.
No.
I'm joking.
We love Ben.
I'm joking.
We are getting Baz, though. Baz is coming for Mania.
God bless him. I hope we do get to see him.
We're going to see him. It's gonna happen. There's a lot of shit going on, Choppy. Since we've been off the air, there's a lot of shit going on. So we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Oh, also, yeah. I got to talk about something else that might be happening in England.
What's going on in England?
There's been talks and rumors. You know how SummerSlam has been going to Brooklyn almost every single year?
And then it fluctuates between Brooklyn and L.A.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I've heard rumors, and I've been reading stuff. Just rumors, guys. Rumors that might be going to London.
That'd be like SummerSlam 92, right?
Yeah. I think they might be going to Wembley. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
It might happen. So we might see SummerSlam.
I'm not opposed to any of that.
Neither.
I think the entire planet should get some kind of WrestleMania or SummerSlam or Royal Rumble or Survivor Series.
I agree.
I feel like it's like even with Europeans too, and all my Euro friends can contest to this. Like in certain bands that come out of the States, they don't make money here. Right, they'll go to a fucking club and book 200 people or 300 people or a small venue, but then they go to Europe and play these fucking 100,000 tub people festivals.
Perfect example, Fozzy is a huge.
Look at Madball, my buddy.
Madball.
Madball is touring. The album dropped in June. It was top 10 on the rock charts, but Hoya is going to be touring with the boys till fucking early next year.
Wow.
Because that's how you got to hustle. There's a hustle to it. So all these bands that really, because music isn't.
You don't sell albums anymore.
No, you
have to tour.
Yeah, 100%.
Metallica, I believe their last album was what? When was their last album? 2014?
No. Yeah, 15.
2015. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, they don't sell a lot of albums. Most of the times, they have to promote themselves by going on tour.
Because nobody buys music anymore.
It's either downloaded through iTunes or
Spotify. But the European fans, they support.
They support
everything.
They go
to these fucking outdoor festivals.
Megadeth.
All those bands play in Europe.
Yeah.
Because they draw heads.
They make money, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But now if you come over here, it's a different story.
Right.
If you're not Rihanna or Beyonce, you ain't making shit.
100%.
Yeah.
100% accurate. So, so I would, like I said, my point being is I think everywhere should have. Any of the UK, Scotland, Ireland, England, fucking Australia.
Speaking of which, I think they're doing an event in Australia.
They are.
Could you imagine if they ever did like SummerSlam or even a Royal Rumble at Sumo Hall in Japan?
Or Tokyo Dome?
Or the Tokyo Dome?
Well, that's New Japan. That's New Japan.
That's new. That's not the MSG of Japan right
there. We'll get into that in a little while. But let's not take away from the fact that Vince basically, monopolized all that. We've talked about that already a million times. How cool would that be, though?
It'd be awesome.
I totally agree.
I'd be down for that.
I would be, too.
SummerSlam at Wembley again? I would love it.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that it's in my backyard. I appreciate it that that it's in Brooklyn every year.
Cause
it's a new venue. It's not a bad venue. It's okay.
Barclays.
It reminds me of an upscale Nassau Coliseum.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
Right?
I completely agree with that statement.
But it's not good for hockey. It's okay for basketball, but it's really good for boxing and wrestling and Ultimate Fighting.
It is.
And mixed martial arts.
We went there for NXT, and we had a pretty good time.
It wasn't terrible.
No.
And I was there for the Raw Anniversary show.
Yeah, you told me that was great.
I was ringside, yeah.
Yeah, you said it was good.
It was great. So.
And Hammer had a great time, too.
He was beside himself.
I'm sure he was.
He was beside himself. But, these other places deserve big, high-profile pay-per-views.
Correct.
100%. All right. So, if you've been living under a rock, obviously, we lost a great wrestler a couple days ago, Jimmy Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah.
Choppy and I played about three promos just now. We didn't know what we were going to play a promo. I had one picked. And then, ironically, he picked the same one without me even telling him. But then we saw another one. This was the one we played. So
it was hilarious.
Yeah, you know what? Jim was sick for a while. He had some stuff going on, and then he just tragically died. Apparently, he fell in his house or something.
Fell on his head, and they caused a seizure, and that's what killed him. I don't think. Gotta keep in mind, the man was in his 60s already.
63, yeah.
Yeah, and then on top of that, he had a lot of drug issues.
He did.
He did.
And
so,
he had Alzheimer's.
So him falling on his head definitely contributed to him just. you know,
yeah, 100%,
passing away, unfortunately.
100%, 100%.
In my mind, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, I told the story the other day on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I shared it with the group. 1987, I remember vividly running to Flash Video in Ridgewood, renting the Best of the Hawk Foundation tape, which you can watch on the network, by the way.
Yes, you can.
It's fun. I watched it. Really good singles match on there with Ricky Steamboat and Bret Hart.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yes, oh, it's great.
Fantastic.
Absolutely, I agree. I believe it's on the Bret Hart DVD.
It is.
It is. It's really good.
But it's on the Hawk Foundation tape.
Yes.
And there's a skit with them in a building, the Hawk Foundation building with Mean Gene. You know, and Aretha Franklin died today, and I know people are like, oh, you know, people move on, she's dead, moving on. Listen, I'm a sentimental sap, because musicians, athletes, any performer that I grew up with that was a childhood influence on me, I pay homage to, because it's important to me, and it made me happy.
It was very weird today, though, considering the fact that she died today. Reason being is because it's Madonna's birthday.
Okay.
And Elvis died on this day, too.
That's right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
How, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just weird.
You know, she was sick for a while, too.
She was.
The influence, a friend of mine came to work today, and young girl, and she said to me, she's like, one of my colleagues, and she's young, and she's like, you know, Phil, I'm so mad. I'm like, what's the matter, sweetie? She said, I was watching Rachel Ray today. I was like, okay. And I was getting ready to come to work. She works the afternoon shift. And I was writing down the recipe that she had. I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's just a kid. She wants to cook for her kids or whatever. And she goes, and they stopped the fucking show to break news for Aretha Franklin. And I looked at her. I'm like, do you have any idea what you just said? And she's like, yeah, no, I know she passed away. I know she's famous. I'm like, she's uber fucking famous.
More than just famous.
When you're called the queen of soul music,
yeah,
there's a fucking reason.
Why do you think when Michael Jackson passed away, he was the king of pop?
There was a reason.
There was like almost a whole week of shit about Michael Jackson.
Listen, Aretha Franklin, since I'm a kid, was a staple in the Rea house. But since I'm a kid, I'm talking about parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Anybody who was into any kind of music always had a piece of Aretha Franklin playing in the background.
Yes.
The soundtrack to my soul, the soundtrack to my life growing up, was basically R&B, like Motown and shit like that. You know, my mom was a disco dancer back in the day. She won like trophies and shit.
I didn't know. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, mom could dance. Mom cuts a rug.
Wow.
Besides calling me names for cursing you on the phone. That was pretty funny today.
That was pretty funny.
So, but anyway.
So, your mom fucking loves me.
Yeah, she's out of her mind. She's out of her mind. She's old. So, and it's really weird because I can remember vividly 25, 35 years ago, like where I was, who I was with, what I was wearing, but I can't remember what I had for dinner two days ago, you know? But Aretha Franklin was like there every step of the way, like anything I did, even when I was a kid and I was making mixtapes. When I had my own vinyl, my own cassettes, my own CDs, always made. You look at my iPod; I have like everything. So, a pretty somber day. I didn't have enough time to grieve because I was busy. We were busy today. So, but I can tell you this: I can tell you that, you know, when people like that, when hit her and Jim Anvil, Neidhart, like those were like people that affected my life, man. The Hawk Foundation period was one of the greatest tag teams ever, first of all. And for me, one of the first heel tag teams that I drew to. As much as I loved the Bulldogs and the Killer Bees, you know, back in the day, before I ever, you know, discovered any other kind of wrestling, like, they were the team. And, you know, I know Brett got the accolades. I know Brett went on to be amazing. And he went on to be a legend. But I said it the other day, and you agree with me, that Jim Neidhart was the fucking glue to that team.
Of course he was.
100%.
If you listen to that promo we just played before the show was even started, you could tell that Brett had no clue what to say in that promo. He was like, yeah, we even have a psychiatrist that kind of like tells us how to psych out our... What?
Before he even knew how to talk.
Shut the fuck up, you mook. Let a real promo artist talk.
It's funny, we had to tell Chobby's wife before what a mook was.
I think I told her once what a MOOC was, and she must have forgot.
She must have forgot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but Jim was really good at the mic, and even Brett admits to it. Brett said, "If it at the very, he said in the, on the DVD that you know Anvil never got the credit he deserved for that tag team because he even said the same words you just said. He was the glue that held that team together."
He did say that.
He said it on the DVD.
I forgot about that.
And he said that, you know, if it wasn't for his promos, I think the team wouldn't have worked.
I can remember vividly, again, being in Madison Square Garden, seeing him fight the Bulldogs, seeing him fight the Killer Bees. And I know the Killer Bees don't get a lot of love, but they were a team that was in that mid-card. They were like the Midnight Express of WWF. Not as good as the Midnight Express, but you know how Midnight Express were always the mid-card guys before they got really... It took them a couple of years to win titles, you know? That's how they were. Not that I'm comparing. I'm just comparing to the run, the certain runs that they had. Obviously, Stan Lane, Dennis Congee, Bobby Eaton, way better than Brian Blair and Jim Brunzel. But I had love for the Bees because they in the Garden, specifically, they would have like these matches. And then to break up the monotony, they would have them fight them individually. Like Bret Hart would fight B. Brian Blair, Jim Brunzel would fight Jim Neidhart. And it was, you know, all guys can work, too.
Yeah, of course.
Especially Brunzel. Brunzel was...
The High Flyers?
Yeah, he was a legitimate tag team wrestler before he even went to Vince.
Not to knock the Killer Bees, I'm not a fan of them. Maybe because I didn't like them as a babyface team. Yeah. I think they would have been better as a heel team because they used to wear those masks all the time and confuse the opponents.
Well, that was later on in their career, but and we'll talk about the Killer Bees in length, but
yeah,
just, you know, Bulldogs, the Killer Bees, Demolition, they fought a bunch of tag teams, you know, but...
Yeah, I mean, they fought the Nasty Boys, the Road Warriors, the Rockers.
The Rockers.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, to me, like, when I look at every era of wrestling, the best... era of tag team wrestling was definitely the 80s.
100%.
I would have to
now,
say the...
But, and you know... And now you have a grasp of why I love tag team wrestling.
Correct. I mean, it was the best.
I grew up in...
And I told you many times in the past, I am so jealous of what you got to see at your age in the 80s, because I didn't get to witness a lot of it, because I only got to witness 87 and on.
Right.
That's what I watched.
Right.
I didn't get to see... 80, 81, 82, right. You know, you got to see all that shit.
I did, man.
You were very fortunate.
And there was good tag team wrestling before I even got into wrestling.
Correct.
Like in the early 80s, like 80 to 80.
Like Tony Garea and fucking...
Rick Martel. Oh, Jesus. There was so many fucking teams.
Mr. Saito and Mr. Fuji.
Tanaka.
Tanaka. Oh, there were so many guys.
Yeah, you had there's a bunch of teams you had. You had the Outlaws with Dusty Rhodes and
the Blackjacks.
And Dick Murdoch. Yeah, you had the Blackjacks. There were so many good teams.
You had fucking Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens.
And the cripple Ray Stevens. Pat Patterson's on Throwback Tonight.
Yep. And then we also had, who was the other, another good team? We also had Nick Bockwinkel and Ray Stevens. They were a good tag team.
Jesus Christ, yeah. There was so many teams. Pedro teamed up with Bruno.
Yeah, Pedro Morales. So yeah, that's right.
And he teamed up with, there was a bunch of
And if I'm mistaken, they were considered unstoppable at one point because they were together as a unit.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of great tag teams.
There was, dude.
Before I even became a
Wasn't Monsoon a tag team wrestler?
He teamed up with, primarily he was a singles guy. He didn't start tag teaming until he was a face.
Okay.
He was a mean heel, though.
I know he was. He was an asshole. Big time.
Yeah, he was mean.
There's a lot of great
tag teams.
Oh, let's not forget about fucking East-West Connection.
Adonis and Murdoch. What about the Wild Samoans?
Yeah. No, what about Ventura and
Ventura and Adonis.
Adonis. And then there was also Adonis and Murdoch.
Who tag team champ. What about Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, the first African-American tag team.
They were great. Samoans, like you said.
Samoans.
So many great teams.
Yeah,
dude.
So many good tag teams.
It's insane.
Right? The Freebirds were around in the early 80s.
Yeah.
In Mid-South.
The Von Erichs were also attacked.
Yeah, I mean, there was so many good tag. We can go. We can go on.
Again, I am truly jealous that you got to witness all these great tag teams in your era. In that era,
I'm pretty lucky.
So lucky.
No, I'm pretty lucky. I really am lucky. So rest in peace. And he's the only now. Brett's the only one alive
of the Hart Foundation from '97. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim. Real quick, Jim Neidhart, former ball player. Played for the Raiders and the Cowboys.
Yep.
He was a legitimate anvil throwing champion, hence his nickname.
Correct.
And he wanted to be a pro wrestler. He went to the Hart Dungeon, was trained by Stu, hooked up with Stu's daughter, had a kid.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Apologize.
Yeah, it's fine. and then that started it. He started working in Florida, mm-hmm. and Stampede in Florida, and then he made his way to Mid-South, which was he cut his teeth there, and then went to Georgia for a little while, and then he went to Vince.
Gotcha.
So rest in peace, Jim Neanville Nighthawk, 63 years young. Condolences to Natty and her whole family.
So I actually tweeted her right away because remember you said I think I had posted it too soon.
You know, not only that. Listen, and I'm not gonna like make a big deal about this, but people, especially on our page, and I'm stealing a quote from Don Tony again. I don't want to be the first. I want to be right, and I wanted to hear from certain people that he was dead, like Mean Gene,
the Sheik,
like there are a couple of people that would know. I no disrespect to B. Brian Blair, but. Like, I he's not somebody I would use as a fucking source, you know what I'm saying? And as soon as he posted something, like, every fucking dirt sheet website was like, oh, he's dead. Can we confirm it first? And we did. We waited about 20 minutes.
WWE actually...
Well, WWE's normally the last to post something, so whatever. But that's fine, because they need to confirm all that, you know?
Let me ask you something, and maybe you could... Maybe you would agree with me or not. Do you think there would be so... Not Hoopla, but do you think they would have done such a good tribute to Anvil if Natty was not in the company?
I don't know. They had a high regard for him.
They did, but then he had so much shit going on in his personal life.
But the whole thing with Ronda Rousey paying the tribute, like they needed to... They couldn't cut a fucking video for him?
They did. At the very end of the show. But my thing is this. Do you think that video would have... been played, or even would they even had mentioned him on the show if Natty was not on the roster?
Yes,
you think they would still mention it?
100%.
I don't know. I don't think they would.
Really? Okay.
I feel like with all you know how WWE likes to keep everything very PC. They don't want to have any negativity around a certain superstar. Well, I feel like that's the problem, mm-hmm. and that's one of the main issues I think is that he doesn't. I think he wouldn't have gotten the recognition he got on Monday if it wasn't for Natty being on the roster. That's just my opinion.
That's a fair assessment, Chop. I mean, I can't.
I mean, look, when fucking Mabel passed away, they really didn't do anything for the
we
guy.
The rant did something bigger than WWE.
Yeah. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I don't know, man. Politics prevent accountability. You know how I feel about all that shit. But either way, a tough loss.
Huge loss.
Yeah, I've been watching Hart Foundation shit all week. So our condolences, like I said, to the family.
My favorite match with them was probably them against Demolition. I really like that match a lot.
My favorite is the Bulldogs when they won the titles. When Danny Davis helped them win the tag team titles.
Oh, the first time.
Yeah, because you could tell the... that was the... Something had to give. And it took Danny Davis's interference and ironically got him barred for refereeing for life. But it took his interference for that feud to get to where it was at.
Correct.
And it was so good, man. It was so well done. So that was my favorite Hall Foundation match, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure you were behind them from every step of the way. And then when they finally got their that first title win, you were like, yes, finally.
Because then the Bulldogs got a – I mean, the Bulldogs – You had Valentine and Beefcake, you had the Bulldogs, you had the Hart Foundation, you had Bundy and Stud, you had what do you call it? Bulldogs, Bundy and Stud, and the Killer Bees.
Killer Bees.
So then, this is before the Islanders, they just started implementing more teams, but those teams were like, holy shit, man, there's so many good tag teams. And and the Rougeaus, holy shit, I forgot about the Rougeaus.
Yeah, the Rougeaus were in there.
There's a great match on that Best Of. With the Rougeaus when Jacques and Raymond first came in.
Is this when they Jimmy Hart was about to recruit
the Rougeaus? This is when the Rougeaus were still wearing the fucking black trunks and the black
shoes. There was like baby faces.
Right, fresh off the fucking boat from Montreal. Gotcha. Like, yeah. But that dude, you gotta watch that match.
I'll check it out.
That's a good whole tape is good. Watch it. It's
on the network. It's on the network.
It's fun, man. It's a fun watch. It's a fun watch. So
yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Poor guy.
I hate doing these fucking tributes, man. Well,
A lot of them. 2018 has been pretty fucked up, dude.
It's not as bad as the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know.
It's bad, but it's not.
We lost the Anvil in wrestling. We lost Vader.
Yeah, we lost Vader.
Fuck, it's insane, man.
I know.
You know when I'm gonna lose my shit is when I find out that when if Hogan passes away, that's going to be a huge fucking deal.
Speaking of Hogan, that's a good segue. Did you hear about there's some kind of announcement for October with the NWO? I heard he cut a promo with Nash and Hall.
He did. I didn't see the video yet, but
I heard.
Apparently, there's rumors going around they might be using the NWO. Well, this is what I heard first off. Impact. You know how Impact is based off in Canada right now, right? Yeah. Okay. There, you know how Cyrus, Don Callis.
Scott DeMore.
And Scott DeMore running the
Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, they're running the gig right over there.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're trying to get the reason Impact is still in, one of the main reasons why Impact is still in business is because of Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho made the overture to a couple guys in Canada, which was Don Callis included, because Don Callis and Chris Jericho are very good friends.
Right.
And that's how Impact still managed to stay in business. So now they're trying to see if we can get Chris Jericho to wrestle Austin Aries for the world title. I don't know if this is going to happen. It's just a rumor and an idea that's being thrown out. And then afterwards, Austin Aries would drop the belt to Jericho in this one match on Impact. And then Jericho would drop the belt to Austin Aries on the Jericho Cruise this year.
Well, Jericho already has a match with the Bucks.
Correct, but that was the theory. That was the rumor going around. And then Austin Aries would get the help from the NWO on the Jericho Cruise to get the belt back.
Oh, wow.
That's what I've been reading, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I just read that. All I read was a caption that they were doing some kind of announcement for something for October.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's fine, because they own half the rights of NWO.
Who?
Hogan Nash.
They do, so they can do whatever the fuck they want with that.
Well, they can do half of what they want. You know, they can basically walk around with the shirts and that,
yeah,
and stuff like that. There's a whole merch deal they have with Vince and all that
correct
shit.
Correct. But yeah, you never know. You never know what could happen. I can tell you right now, I think Jericho will make an appearance in Impact eventually one time. I think it will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wrestling in Jericho's mind, he's wrestling for the number two company in the world right now, which is New Japan Pro Wrestling. In his mind, he called it the number two company.
Yeah.
And for him to be the IC champion of the number two company, he could do whatever the fuck he wants. He's a journeyman right now, if you think about it.
Yeah.
He's been jumping around from promotion to promotion.
Yeah.
I never thought he was going to win the belt from Naito. So.
All right, well, let's stick with New Japan. The G1 was fantastic this year.
I know.
Tanahashi fucking out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but I didn't expect him to win it this year.
I know.
It was really good. The matches were so good. It got to the point where the OG Bullet Club guys were getting involved, and they got barred from ringside, and Tama Tonga's been cutting promos. And
Tama Tonga's money, dude.
Fale didn't get pinned in his fucking bracket. He got disqualified, got this, got that. He was a beast. So many good matches. If you get a chance, please go watch it.
Speaking of promos, did you see the Juice Robinson promo?
Yes.
About Cody? Oh, yes. My God.
Yes. Yeah.
What a promo.
Let me tell you something, guys. We've been saying this for months and months and months and months. You have options. You don't have to watch the crap that's on WWE if you don't want to. You don't have to watch Impact. You don't have to watch it. There are so many. And let me tell you, these guys are basically killing themselves. Literally killing themselves to entertain us, and it's appreciated. It really is.
It is.
And these gaijin that New Japan has a lock with are so good and so talented. You got Juice Robinson, David Finley, fucking who's the Bullet Club guy? Chase Owens, Hangman Page, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Bucks, Cody. Marty Scurll, Cody Rhodes, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned, but all these guys, all these gaijin.
Oh, who forget about Michael Elgin?
Big Mike had a nice showing in G1 again this year. Cleaned himself up.
Dude, he looks fucking fantastic.
He looks great. He slimmed down a bit. He bulked up.
He looks great.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He looks like a fucking action figure.
He does.
He looks like a 1980 T-Man action figure.
Correct. Great assessment. I agree.
Yeah.
He looks great.
So, I'm excited. Now, I'm really excited to go to Chicago in 2 weeks because you're coming, and the crew, it's going to be amazing. There's going to be a party in the parking lot. We're going to we're going to do some sightseeing. I'm going to see some baseball, hopefully some football. and now which is now we're talking about it more. We're excited, and on top of all that, a couple of days after my birthday this year, the boys scored tickets for the G1 special,
dude.
WrestleMania
weekend. We're going to fucking G1, dude.
Yeah, it's very expensive, and we're sitting the section right up from ringside,
dude. It's MSG G1. I mean, $1.50 for a ticket is not bad.
No, it's not. I have to pay $300 because I'm taking Michael. But here's the deal. This is special, and I told it. We had a Choppy and Bree took me to dinner after my birthday gathering we had on a couple weeks ago, and it was funny because we're sitting in a restaurant, we're hanging out, and Rob and Elaine came with us, and I said to them, I'm like, listen, if this happens, which it did, but if this happens, I want to go all out. Like, because we're not going to WrestleMania, we're not going to NXT. It's the same night. We'll go to Nick's friend's memorial show, probably. Maybe we'll probably go to WrestleCon because it's there.
Correct.
Maybe Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be podcasting from there. Hopefully, I'm going to work on that in a couple of weeks. But you know, it's one of these things where even if it comes back, even if they do more shows, you guys have to understand something. Madison Square Garden to me is sacred, and I don't want to sound too like religious and shit like that. I don't want to get too into a tangent, but for me, it's the holy grail of everything fun in my life when I was a kid. It had wrestling, it had football. I mean, I'm sorry, it had wrestling, hockey, basketball, and even the circus. Even though I'm against the circus now because of the way they treat animals, but as a kid, I didn't know any better. But when I was a kid, or a rock concert, when you went there, it was special. Even if it was a house show. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you went there, Chop, and you had to be around to experience it. You had to be there. It wasn't the thing where... I'm lucky about that. I know I'm bragging about it, but it's the truth. Like, there's certain things I probably can't appreciate in the 90s because I wasn't that young. Like, you can. Like, all the Nickelodeon shit, I'm sure, was amazing, but I was an old man already by that time. But I can tell you this, that pro wrestling in my life as a child started in Madison Square Garden. I went to a Garden show before I even went to a fucking Ridgewood Grove Arena show. Okay? And there's not been a non-WWWF card or Capital Wrestling card at Madison Square Garden since 1957.
Correct.
So they can have a bunch of these after this, but we'll be at the first one. The ticket stubs will be framed. The t-shirts will be bought.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Steak dinners will be all around. Takeover Club is going to G1 Super Show.
And just to let you know, this will be my first time at Madison Square Garden.
I can't, and I still, that blows my fucking mind that my tag team partner, my best bud, my brother, who has been fucking a rock with this whole show and is an amazing fan, is an amazing fucking analyst, has not been to the holy grail of professional wrestling.
Did I ever tell you that my dad has been to MSG not to see a show, but to lay the carpet down in the Knicks locker room?
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That your dad laid carpet in my church.
1994, the year they almost won the fucking... That's when he laid the carpet down over there.
When he lost the championship to Houston. Listen, it's going to be a happening.
Oh, God.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be all... We have friends coming from England. We have friends coming from the Midwest. We have friends, I think, are coming from Canada. We have friends coming from the Southwest. Speaking of Southwest, I want to give Mario to Barrett from Barrio a shout. He sent me a fucking cool minor league baseball hat from Texas. We're doing a hat swap. I'm going to send him... I have a fresh Knicks snapback. I'll show you the hat. It's in the living room. I wore it to work the other day. I love it. So, Mario, you like this hat? You know what I mean? You better like this hat. Let me play that for Mario for one time. I played the video for him today, but...
You like this hat?
That's right.
Sure do. You better like this hat. That's no lie.
And that's it, but go for New Japan now.
Yeah.
Are you... You're getting the game, right? For Fire.
Oh, we pre-ordered it. It comes out in 2 weeks.
Oh, so you're getting
it. Mikey's getting it for his PS4, yes.
Excellent. Oh, my God. That game must be... It's going to be amazing. Let's keep in mind, though, Fire Pro Wrestling was originally exclusive just for Super Nintendo in the 90s.
Yeah. You know what's even more fun? I don't think he's taking his his PlayStation with him to his dad's when he goes to stay with his dad for school. So you know me and you be playing fucking Fire Pro.
Oh, dude.
Before shows on
oh my God.
Coming in the next couple months. If he does leave it here. If not, then we'll, you know. Either way. But it's a very exciting time. And just be on the lookout. There's another big announcement we have. There's a couple. Choppy and I are contemplating some schedule changes. We'll talk about that later on in a couple of weeks. And September 24th, we're back at Sacred Heart.
Yeah! FTW, baby!
Back to school brawl. We're back at FTW. Sal and Chuck gave us the green light last week from Sacred Heart. We're very excited.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to up our game, too, I think. We're going to get some better equipment, I think. I'm working on that. Hopefully it happens.
It'll be like Bob Caudle and Jim Ross.
Basically.
It'll be great.
It's going to be fantastic. And I told him I want to reserve our table by the fucking entrance, by the wrestling entrance. And a great crew of guys, and all our friends will be there from the neighborhood.
We witnessed the title change of Ellsworth winning the world title.
Correct.
It's great.
So, and they've already sold out half their ringside seats tickets.
Yeah.
So if you guys are local and you want to come out to the show, please let us know. Choppy and I will put you in touch with Sal and Chuck. It's a family affair. There's so many kids there.
That's another thing.
Like, it's so fun.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
No cursing, but very good wrestling. Very, very good wrestling.
Yeah, and shockingly, too.
Yeah, shockingly very good wrestling. I'm very, I'm into the coach.
He's great.
I love the coach.
Coach Chris?
Coach Chris is fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Who else? I like Rage is great.
Rage is great. That's our buddy. Rage is actually going to come on the show in a couple weeks.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I spoke to him, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I spoke to him on my birthday.
And there's a couple other guys we had spoken with at the show. They were
Yeah, we got to get some of these guys on. They're going to call into the show in the next couple weeks just to plug all everything that's going on.
Correct.
So
I took your advice. And not advice, but I told you, we were like, I listen to the shows, the shows on the Rant all the time. And you were like, Andre, do me a favor. You need to listen to the first hour of the Rant because Double A's talking nonsense over here about video games. And I was like, what do you mean? And you just got to listen. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I want to listen to it. So I finally got down to it. I was listening to Tony C, Surfer, and all of them were talking about these retro video games. Now, mind you, Choppy's the master of retro video gaming.
Yeah, so this whole thing Tuesday started. Let me just premise it. So Tuesday, I found the biggest retro arcade in the United States.
Yes.
Which is in Chicago.
Correct.
So we'll be hitting that. It's open until 2 a.m.
Yep.
It's open play. It's like $20 an hour or something like that, however it is.
Fantastic.
And there's over 600 video games there. Okay? So this turned into, I don't know how it happened, but the Rant, like Choppy said, brought it up. And they would just tore, and they would tear, and I was like, and I was texting Choppy, like, please, I hope you're listening. Please, you have to call in. Please, please, please. So go ahead, finish it.
So this is, from what I remember, Double A was saying that WCW and NWO World Tour is the greatest wrestling game ever made. And my friend, I would completely disagree with you. That game was good, but it's not the greatest wrestling game of all time. Reason being is because WCW NWO Revenge is far superior to that game, far superior. The graphics were far superior. The grappling system was way better on the WCW NWO Revenge. And the roster was so deep on that game. You could even play as Yuji fucking Nagata. You could play as Reese from The Flock in that game.
Aki Man
you could play as.
That's my dude.
Like, one of my favorite wrestlers in that game was fucking Ultimo Dragon.
Perry Saturn
was in the...
Was my favorite wrestler. Him and Aki Man were my guys.
They were... They're great. That's a deep roster in that game.
100%. 100% deep accurate. Roster. I couldn't call in because I was on a bus.
And I couldn't call in because I was passed the fuck out.
You passed out when I called.
So, in response to Double A, here are my top five wrestling games of that era.
Okay.
Number five... You might agree with me on this one. You might agree with me on this one. I think my number five is like going to be people's number one. WWF No Mercy for N64.
That's number five.
That's number five for me, and I'll tell you why it's number five. Because that fucking game is good until you get into four-person match. when you get to a fatal four way or a tag team match, that became the game becomes super fucking slow.
Yeah,
it slows down tremendously.
Yeah,
and on top of that, another reason why it's number five is because they cut off the entrances from the game.
Yeah,
that's the number. That's why it's number five. Number four, WWE SmackDown. Here Comes the Pain for PlayStation 2. That game is fantastic.
SmackDown
versus just SmackDown. Here Comes the Pain with
Brock Lesnar.
Yes,
the cover. Okay.
One of the best games ever made. Number three, WrestleFest.
WrestleFest
was fantastic. Number two. WCW NWO Revenge. That's my number two. And then my number one is WWF WrestleMania 2000 for the N64.
Okay.
Those are the top games. That's just my opinion. A lot of people will be like, no, you're fucking crazy. Like, the games of today are so much better. I'm like, no, they're not. There's like, I like the games. They're great. But like, that list, these games have garnered like 9 out of 10s. By gaming magazines and gaming and internet gaming websites.
Mm.
These WWF wrestling game, the WWE games that have come out recently have not even been able to reach a number 9.
Yeah.
Some of these games have reached, even like the ones I've listed, have reached 10 out of 10 because they're so good. Yeah. And they're fun. It's not this tech, like, you know, kids of Mikey's age will love these games from today, obviously, because they have so much time in their hands.
He's played every 2K game since he's 11 now. He's been playing them since 2013.
Exactly. So, if you have the time, like, most of these kids have time to play the game.
They're
going to love it.
Right.
But myself, Phil, and other guys around our age would say, hey,
I'm actually buying one this year.
Which one? Oh, the
2K18.
Is it 18 or 19?
19.
Because with Daniel Bryan or Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
The one with Ric Flair. Okay.
This one, but this, it comes with a Funko Pop of him with the big gold belt. Comes with a piece of his robe. Like, that stuff, like, that's just collector's item shit I want. That's for me. It's something, like, it's like you said, it's time killing. We don't have... I took the emulator you gave me last year, 2 years ago, and I put it in the living room now because Mikey doesn't use it that much. And I've been playing fucking tag team wrestling, playing Saturday Night Slam Masters,
another great game.
There's so many great games, the wrestling games. There was a bunch of good wrestling
games. If I'm not mistaken, I think AA said that WCW wrestling in 1989 for Nintendo was probably the best game out of all the WWF games on Nintendo, supposedly. I've never played that game.
The one from 89 you're talking about? That's
the one with the cover of the Road Warriors are on the cover.
I had that t-shirt.
You had that t-shirt?
The t-shirt.
Yeah.
I love that t-shirt. I gotta buy a Road Warriors t-shirt for Chicago. I can't fucking wait, man. It's gonna be so dope.
But the, yeah.
But yeah, but no, I didn't get a chance to make a list. You were waiting to rebuttal, so.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not as huge gamer as you are. I played all those games. My favorite is Revenge.
Of course,
I told you that. And yeah. WrestleFest are my two favorite games ever.
And
the Virtual Fighter, the
Virtual Pro Wrestling.
Virtual Pro Wrestling.
I've never played those. So
number two is fucking amazing.
And you know who's number? You know whose favorite? Whose favorite game is that? That's AJ Styles.
Yeah,
AJ Styles has said that Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 is his favorite wrestling game of all time.
And Johnny Wizards Kevin too.
Yeah,
he's a retro gamer too. So. He's a guy that you may want to hit up. See, here's the thing, too. I think, here's what I think you guys should be doing. Get in touch with guys like Kevin, and I think you guys should get together and do a fucking retro wrestling game, and we could stream this shit, too. Like, there's a big, I have this whole plan in my head. You need to get in touch with Kevin and work that out. Kevin would definitely do it. But that's, it's so important to the genre, I feel like. That's why I got a really heated debate last night on the rant.
Yeah.
Because all those guys were invested, especially Tony C.
Of course.
He's a huge gamer, too. Will Morgan's a gamer. Like, a lot of our guys are gamers. So that's something that we could definitely do in the future.
There was a lot of games that they mentioned that I missed. Like, I remember playing... Remember the original Ninja Turtles on Nintendo?
Sure.
A lot of people hated that fucking...
Hard game.
It's hard. But I fucking love that game. It's a Konami game.
But how many games... Listen, I love all those fucking Konami games.
Contra.
Life Force was my favorite.
Life Force was so good. Life Force was
my favorite game out of all the Konamis. That and, Blades of Steel, too.
Blades
of
Steel was good.
Blades of Steel.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
So many games out there.
No, there's so many. But that's something that you, I think, honestly, you should be working on that. You, when you get, when time allows you, like you did, you had a couple days, write stuff down, put it on your phone, start hitting these guys up, and let's get a show together, with, do a round table of all the fucking wrestling video games. You guys can, I'll fucking run the board, I won't even talk. You guys can fucking host it. Yeah, our t-shirt.
Our t-shirt logo has the original. Like, I love this wrestling game. It was fucking Starman,
King Slender,
Amazon. King Slender was a ripoff of Ric Flair, believe it or not.
Yeah, Amazon was the missing link, basically. Who else is on there?
King Kong Pop, or I forget the name.
Something like that.
It was good game. Very good.
Playing it all day. I love that game. I love that. I love all that shit.
You're welcome. No problem.
That's what I'm here for, right?
That's what I'm here for.
I can't wait to loop that. Enough of that. Anything else that's tickling your tits with news-wise?
Oh, one more thing. Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, so you were watching Raw. You told me in pre-production that you were watching Raw.
I saw Raw. Not all of
them. I only saw the Ronda Rousey thing. I didn't see anything else.
I just saw the... I was watching Raw, and, you know, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre were boring the shit out of the crowd that day because there was no reaction. All of a sudden, Seth Rollins comes out, and boom, there's the reaction. Everyone's cheering for Seth. And then Seth says, like, oh, you know, you got the, you know, the Scottish psychopath, so I went out and got myself a lunatic. Here comes Dean Ambrose. Boom. Everyone loses their fucking mind because it's Dean Ambrose. They haven't seen him in such a long time.
Right.
Mind you, I'm not the biggest Dean Ambrose fan.
Neither am I.
However, he changed his whole look around. He shaved his head.
Yeah.
He grew a beard, and now he looks bulkier. Like, he's bulked up a little bit. So, I'm online, and a lot of people are, like, questioning his look. They're like, how did he get so big? And everyone's like, oh, he's on something. I'm like, no.
Can't be.
He's not on something, you stupid.
He's got a fucking haircut.
You stupid fucks. Listen. I used to... Okay, obviously, I'm not the epitome of physical fitness, because when I was, I knew what a body looks like to be on steroids and what's not. Dean Ambrose, before he got injured, looked like shit. He already looked like shit. And the reason he looked like shit is because, first off, he was injured. He was working hurt. And he probably had no time to go to the gym. You know, he got injured. What happens? He's off for 9 months. What the fuck do you think is going to happen in 9 months?
He's going to work out.
He's going to work out like 3-4 hours a day.
100%.
Bang his wife and come back and go back to the gym again.
Yeah.
He was probably working out 6 hours, maybe 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And he was bulking up. He probably changed his whole workout routine. And he got bulkier. He looks better now. And this might... And people are like, no, he's on HGH. He's not on HGH, you stupid fucks. Shut the fuck up about... God. NFTR, who cares? Will you stop? You stupid fuckbags. Will you stop? Like... Dean Ambrose, I'll be honest with you, like I said, I'm not a fan of Dean Ambrose, but if he turns heel, I might become a fan of Dean Ambrose.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Yeah. And that's pretty much my rant on that.
Yeah, my whole, I mean, I saw the picture, I didn't see the match or whatever. I just think that it might be setting up for him to come back and maybe do a heel turn, I don't know. We're actually going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to... The rant is not doing a pre-show, they're doing a post-show. So I told AA if he wants to take the footage from this show and make a preview both NXT TakeOver and Brooklyn SummerSlam. And SummerSlam. And we'll take a quick break and we'll come back to our throwback.
Do you want to do NXT first or you want to do SummerSlam first?
Well, I guess we'll do NXT first because it's Saturday.
Okay, let's do that. Let's run down the card.
Yeah, so NXT from the Barclays Center, August the 18th. Let's see. Let's see.
I'm actually very extremely hyped for this card. The last TakeOver card, I wasn't too happy about it, but it was still very good matches.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what would be the opening match to NXT. I would assume Velveteen Dream and EC3.
Well, I'll work from the bottom up and
okay.
Whatever.
Sounds good.
Velveteen Dream versus EC3.
Yes.
Should be the first match.
That will be the first match. I think the match is going to be very, very good because let's face it, Velveteen Dream has been putting out very good matches. He's been on the losing effort on those matches, but he's been very, very good on the mic.
Is this EC3's first NXT event? I know he showed up at TakeOver when we were there.
It's not his first TakeOver. It's his first TakeOver was when he was in that ladder match for the North American title.
You're all right. I stand corrected. Okay, finish your point.
And Velveteen Dream has been really, like, on the money. And he's so fucking young. He's like, I don't know, 23?
Yeah, he's a young kid. He's in his mid-20s.
Very young. And sky's the limit for this kid. I think he's going to be, like, money on the main roster if they use him properly.
Does he beat EC3?
Oh, man, it's a tough one for me because I really want Velveteen to win this match, but then I don't want EC3 to job out because he's on a roll, EC3, because people, like, I thought he was going to come in as a heel because he seemed like he was going to be a heel.
Yeah.
And the people are behind him. The crowd is behind EC3. I don't know, man. It's a tough one. I don't know who to go with on this one.
So who are you picking? You got to pick somebody.
I'm going to go with Velveteen Dream. You want to know why? Because he's lost every single TakeOver match.
Well, the feud began in London.
Yes.
Right, when Dream walked out of EC3 during the tag match or whatever.
Correct.
I like EC3. Okay. I think he's going to win with some shenanigans. I think he's probably going to cheat.
Yeah. I mean, he's known for cheating in his matches, but the crowd loves it when he cheats.
Oh, that's fine. The crowd loves both these guys.
They love them both, even though they're both... Is EC3 technically a heel, though?
I don't know. Probably a tweener.
He's like a tweener, right?
Yeah.
But he's getting, like... this is probably the best shape I've ever seen EC3 in.
Yeah.
Even better than when he was an Impact.
Nah, he's a phenomenal shape. I agree with you 100%.
Clean, trim. 100%. He looks like a true superstar that you would probably see in the 90s.
Yeah.
And Velveteen Dream looks like he's lean and trim as well. He looks fantastic. But I got the Dream. You got EC3.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
NXT Tag Team Championship.
Oh, no.
The Undisputed Era.
Oh, man.
Defending the straps against the Mustache Mountain.
Can I say that this is going to be the show stealer right here?
I think all the tag team matches are.
I love Roddy. And I told you Roddy was going
to... I'm a Roddy guy.
Roddy is going to be money in this match. Kyle O'Reilly is going to be money. I think... that the Undisputed Era retains. And I'll tell you why. Bobby Fish is going to interfere in this fucking match. Because he's coming back. He has to be almost done with his injury. Has to be. He's wearing the knee brace. He's walking around with these guys. I think he's going to interfere in this match.
You think this is going to be the match of the night? I think Cole and Ricochet might contend for that. But this is going to be my favorite. It's always my favorite. I love these guys.
So do I. They're great.
I think they're going to beat Mustache Mountain. I mean, it's a good feud. That also started in London, too.
I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I think that Undisputed Era is going to retain. And they might even be... Guys, I think you're going to call me crazy, but they might retain to hold on to those belts for a long time.
I'm not mad at that.
Me neither.
Because you could tell a good story with all those guys.
Correct. And on top of that, Undisputed Era is the four horsemen of the NXT right now. Think about
it. If you think about it, yeah.
Think about it for a second. NXT... does all their TV shows in a small venue.
Just like Georgia. Just like
Mid-Atlantic.
Yep.
Then when they're ready to blow up, they go to these bigger venues and they draw thousands of people to come see them. It's an old formula and it works.
You know, you can say what you want. You know, since you've known me, I'm an Adam Cole mark.
Of course.
Well.
Yeah.
I adore him. I think he's amazing. I think he's done his. I think he. Even though people keep saying he's undersized,
I'm one of those people
that he should be a cruiserweight. This, that, and the third. I don't. I think Adam Cole treats his stature to another level. I think he takes another level where he looks like a cruiserweight, but he fights like a heavyweight.
I like Adam Cole very much. I've always enjoyed, especially when he debuted in NXT last year.
Oh.
Dude, we lost our minds when we saw him.
Totally marked out.
And when I saw this, I was like, okay, he's slimmed down a lot since we last saw him in Ring of Honor. I think he's in the best shape he's ever been.
Yeah.
My concern, I'm not shitting on Adam Cole. I love Adam Cole. My concern is when he finally arrives in the main roster, will Vince take this man seriously? Considering the fact that he's in great shape, he is, but he is, not height wise, just mass. He needs a little bit more mass on him.
Yeah,
to be a real contender. And I'll tell you right now, if he does stay the size he is right now, he might stay. He might be a heel throughout his whole career, and I'm fine with that. You want to know why? Because it's always the smaller heels that tend to entertain the crowds the most. It's always the smaller heels. Take, for example, Eddie Guerrero. He was a heel, smaller guy, but people backed him up because he was a great wrestler.
Yeah.
And Adam Cole is the same way. He's a great fucking wrestler. He's a small guy.
We'll get into Adam Cole in a minute.
But he's gonna
continue. Women's Championship. Shayna Baszler defends against Kairi Sane. Let me ask you something. I'm taking Baszler, but let me before you give me your pick. I need a reason to like Kairi Sane, and I can't.
I don't like her either.
I want to like she's got a character that people can, you know, emotionally attach themselves to, the whole "Hi, how are you, Sailor Moon" type shit. If you're into that kind of shit, I just don't see it with her. I feel like she's very mechanical. Like she doesn't flow. I don't like anything. I'm not saying I don't like anything she does. I try to emotionally invest in. I'm not a big women's wrestling fan. You know that, but like I appreciate it. I just can't. I need a reason to like her, and I don't like her.
I think the reason you don't like her is because she doesn't really have charisma.
Yeah, it's true.
She's not charismatic as Asuka was. Asuka is super.
And Asuka's also good, though. Even if Asuka wasn't charismatic, she's fucking good.
In the ring, she is.
She's solid, yeah.
But Kairi Sane, she has no charisma. I think she's very mechanical, like you said. And her character is okay. I'm not into it. Like the pirate princess.
But it's cool. Like the kids can.
The kids dig it.
It could sell merch. People are behind her. She's had success in other federations and other leagues. It's not translating for me. I'm not feeling it.
I think they're trying too hard for her to be the next Asuka of NXT just because she's Japanese.
Yeah, you think so?
I think they're trying and it's just not working. First off, when you see the NXT show this week, you'll see that they're trying to make her look more vicious.
Yeah.
And you'll see why.
Right.
And you decide for yourself. I still think Shayna's going to win this. Shayna Baszler is going to win this match.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down.
She doesn't look like a... Kairi Sane does not look like a contender for this belt yet.
We spoke about Adam Cole in length.
Yes.
He's defending the North American Championship against Ricochet.
Yes.
This may beat the tag team match for Match of the Night.
It might. I would definitely agree with you on that, for sure.
Indie Darlings match, you could say, in a way.
Correct. Both men have wrestled for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ring of Honor.
Combat
Zone. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, CZW.
Yep. Every indie fed in the United States. They've wrestled in London, in England. They've wrestled all over the fucking world. These guys are fucking polished.
Yeah.
They know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, Ricochet is finally getting his due. Adam Cole is finally getting his due. I cannot pick.
I can. I could pick a fucking.
No, I mean, I'm saying I can't go against Adam Cole.
I'm not.
So we're both picking Adam Cole. I wouldn't be surprised if Ricochet wins. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because
they're big and they've invested a lot in him. They've invested a lot in him.
If Ricochet wins the match on Saturday, then my pick for the main event is going to change.
Okay, because now at this point, if Ricochet wins, that puts Adam Cole in the world title hunt.
Exactly.
Which is Tommaso Ciampa defending against Johnny Gargano.
Yes.
Now, you pick Ciampa to win, right? To retain? You were picking Ciampa to retain, right?
Yeah, if it was a triple threat.
But it's not now, because Aleister Black is injured. He's out, yeah.
So,
last man standing match, by the way.
Yeah, the last man standing match, which... Let's keep in mind that Johnny Gargano has been clawing to get at this belt.
Yeah.
He has tried. He has went up against Cien Almas, and he's lost twice. He's never... Yeah. And I don't know if... I don't know, man. It all depends if Ricochet wins the North American title. If he wins the North American title, I could see Johnny Gargano winning the belt from Tommaso Ciampa and then Adam Cole in contention for the world title.
Yeah.
That being said, if... I picked Adam Cole to win against Ricochet, so I'm going to go with Ciampa. Ciampa wins for the NXT title and defends it.
Okay. So I'm piggybacking on what you said. If Ricochet beats Adam Cole,
you're going with Gargano.
Yeah. If not, I'm picking Ciampa.
Yes.
Because it makes sense.
And also, one more thing. I feel like this match is also a contender to steal the show.
Any three of those matches.
Like, okay, besides the women's match, any one of those four matches that we mentioned, which was Velveteen Dream, EC3, that could be a show stealer too. Those guys can really go. And, you know, the tag team match, the North American title match, any one of those four matches that we mentioned could probably steal the show.
Gotcha. All right. Let's do SummerSlam.
Fuck my life.
Nah, it's going to be a good card.
Meh.
No, it's going to be a good card. Honestly, don't shit on it. I'm going to read the card. On paper, this looks really good. On paper. I'm not saying it's going to resonate to anything amazing, but on paper right now, it's even... Dude, even the fucking kickoff match is great. Cien Almas against Cien Almas and Zelina Vega against Rusev and Lana. I'm taking Rusev and Lana.
Cien Almas and Zelina.
Okay. For me. Another good fucking match. Cedric Alexander defends the cruiserweight strap against fucking Drew Gulak.
Gulak wins that.
Imagine?
Gulak is going to win. And you want to know why Gulak is going to win it? He's been money as a character on TV. He's been vicious with that fucking dragon sleeper.
I agree that he's great, but I disagree he's going to win.
He's going to win.
I hope so.
He's going to win.
But I think he's going to lose. Constable Corbin against Finn Balor. When are they going to give fucking Finn Balor a break? Yeah. Does Corbin win?
No, fuck him!
Alright, so Balor's win, I'm taking Balor as well. Let's keep it moving. Raw Tag Team Championship. The B Team defends the straps against the Revival.
The Revival.
Yeah, I'm taking the B Team. I want the Revival to win. I don't think they're ready to lose yet, though. The fans are behind them now. They're getting this kind of push for some reason. They're not with The Miz anymore. I'm not a big fan. I like the Revival. I know if Kid Yuma was listening. He's a big Revival guy.
I love the Revival. To me, that's Tully and Arn of the present day.
Bludgeon Brothers defend the SmackDown straps against New Day.
Bludgeon wins.
Okay, Bludgeon wins. I'm taking the New Day. This makes no sense to me. The Money in the Briefcase match. Braun Strowman defends his case against Kevin Owens.
And if he gets disqualified, he loses the belt. He loses the briefcase anyways. This might be interesting, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, you're smiling. I love the choppy smile.
It's the asshole smile. If Kevin Owens wins,
he's going to cash in that night.
He's going to cash in on
Roman Reigns.
And do it on Roman Reigns, and yeah, you got yourself a new Universal Champion.
Again. I like that, but I want Strowman to cash in.
So do I.
So I'm picking Strowman.
Okay.
I
pick Kevin Owens.
Okay. We talked about this before. You showed me a cool pick, cool poster. Shinsuke Nakamura defending U.S. strap against Jeff Hardy.
Okay. I think there's going to be shenanigans in this match because of Randy Orton.
Yeah, I thought they were going to make it a three-way.
I thought so too.
They didn't.
There's going to be shenanigans with Randy Orton.
100%.
Which means Shinsuke is going to retain.
And that'll start Shinsuke and Randy Orton, which that's going to resonate. That's a good fucking match on paper.
But two heels going at it though.
Listen, it's for Randy Orton's spot right now. He's got to be somewhere. If they're gonna keep him in that level of this level of the card, they got to put him in this. You know, you don't know what's gonna happen with Nakamura either. You know what I'm saying? Like it's something's not clicking with him with them. You know what I'm saying? I like him. I love him to death. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world, but it's not resonating with me. He should be world champion, but he's not. But that's another story. I'll get into that another time. But Jeff Hardy's wrestling hurt. We all know that. So to see him win, I don't see it. I like the shenanigans. So I'm going to take Nakamura as well. This might win matches of the night. IC strap. Ziggles defends against Seth Rollins. They've had some hell of a fucking run so far.
I'm not a fan of this feud.
I'm invested. It's one of the only things I like about Raw right now. That's not The Miz. You know?
Yeah.
Or the WWE, for that matter. It's not The Miz, right?
Correct.
I like this. I could see Seth Rollins winning the title again. Just cause.
I think they're not going to pull the trigger on the heel turn yet for Dean Ambrose. Not yet.
Not yet. But he's going to have some kind of...
He's going to be input. Involved in the match. He's definitely going to help Seth Rollins win this belt. Because Seth Rollins has been put through hell with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. It would make... First off, he got a tremendous reaction from the crowd on Monday. You have to watch the video and see the reaction he got. And for them to just switch off, you know, turn him heel would be a mistake.
Yeah.
Because he could sell some merch off of that reaction.
Seth Rollins.
Dean, I'm sorry.
Oh, Dean Ambrose, yeah, okay.
So I think Dean helps out Seth for a couple months. And then you start seeing, like, you know, a little jealousy issue there. And that's when you see the turn later on. Not now.
Right.
Later on.
Okay.
So I say Seth gets the belt.
Seth, me too. Okay. Now, this match might steal the show. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz.
This match, I agree. There's so much history with this match. I mean, I've seen this. I think I've only seen these guys twice wrestle.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, like, I'm sure these guys don't hate each other backstage. It's just their characters hate each other.
Of course.
Because they made it, but the thing is, they did such a great job of making you believe that they hate each other for real.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep in mind, they've started their feud in 2010 with the original NXT, which was absolute shit.
Right.
But, where The Miz was the pro and Daniel Bryan was the rookie.
Correct.
And they started, and they actually did a couple of video montages of them going back and forth in 2010.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's not also forget that Daniel Bryan beat The Miz for the United States title back in 2010.
Yeah.
And it's been like a regular progression throughout this for this feud. So I think that with all the shenanigans that The Miz has done to Daniel Bryan, you know, using the it kicks.
It's a perfect story.
It's a great story. I think Daniel Bryan's gonna win this match.
Yeah. I'm gonna take The Miz.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is gonna drag out. I feel like they have a couple of more matches left in them.
I'm not saying this is the last match.
No,
for them.
No, but I'm thinking like this could, you know, this could go to even like the end of the year.
I think the Daniel Bryan wins, and then like the next SmackDown, Miz attacks him again for something stupid.
Okay,
it's gonna be like, you know, to me it's gonna be Daniel Bryan wins, Miz wins the next match, and then it's gonna be Daniel Bryan again, and then they just end the feud right there.
Triple threat for the SmackDown Women's Title, Carmella champion defending against Becky Lynch and her friend Charlotte.
Wow, I completely forgot this was a match.
Yeah, I'm taking Becky Lynch.
I'm gonna take Becky Lynch as well.
Yeah.
She's been on a roll lately, and it would be like Carmella's been such a terrible champion.
Yeah, because she's not that good of a wrestler.
She's terrible.
On top of that, I was watching. It's SummerSlam week here in New York, and Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Charlotte were at Yankee Stadium yesterday doing batting practice,
mm-hmm.
and Scott Stanford, our local guy who does the weekly rap shows. He also does sports with Channel 11. He had said to Charlotte, you know, your homegirl's in this match. You and Becky are really good friends. Does this hinder your thought process? She's like, no. I disagree. I think that it's going to be like almost like a Sasha Banks Bailey kind of relationship where there's going to be some tension, which could lead to Charlotte losing it. Snapping it, you know, doing something foolish, making a decision, and losing the match. Not necessarily because of Becky Lynch, but Becky Lynch wins and Charlotte had something to do with it. Like a botched spot, a ref bump, a fucking something. Something stupid.
Okay.
So I'm going to take Becky Lynch for this one.
Sounds good.
Not a fan, but I'm just, you know, for the sake of the show, for the sake of the rant, I'm doing it. All right. Alexa Bliss, who's been a great champion, a great character.
I like Alexa Bliss.
I do too. But they're going to give the belt to Ronda Rousey.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree.
Okay.
They're not pulling the trigger on this title switch yet. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that the big money match that they're saving Ronda Rousey for is her against Charlotte. I know Charlotte's on SmackDown. I know.
But a lot can happen between now and fucking April next year.
I understand, but to see Ronda Rousey win the women's title at WrestleMania has more pizzazz on it.
Yeah.
It has more of like a big show feel to it. I don't think she's going to get the belt.
So there. They're going
to
hold out on her winning the title?
I think
maybe so. Maybe she wins by shenanigans? Maybe disqualification?
I think Alexa's going to win this. Either Alexa's going to win or she's going to retain by disqualification. Gotcha. Somehow.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I think Rousey can win it.
It's a possibility.
No. I think they're rocket launching her. Maybe too soon, but that's just my opinion.
You gotta remember, she was a draw in the UFC.
Again, dude, she's killing it in merch too right now.
She's killing it in merch. Has she really drawn anything? Honestly,
here's the deal: the whole drawing thing is not an issue anymore because fans go for different reasons now. They're not selling. No one's selling out seats, dude, unless you're in fucking New Japan. Let's be honest. No one's selling it. No one's selling. You know how you're selling yourself? Merch, action figures, video games. Fucking magazines. I thought she did it.
And believe it or not, WWE is the most profitable it's been in a long, long
100%.
Time. 100%. And despite the storylines being a little weaker than what we are used to watching, I mean, yeah, they're more profitable now. And that's all because of merch. And again, it's like what you said. You have to sell yourself today. If you don't sell yourself, WWE is not going to care for you. And that's what Ronda's doing right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is going to win. It's apparent.
Bobby Lashley is in the fucking wings. Why, I have no idea.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'm taking Roman Reigns as well, which will hinder if that Money in the Bank thing comes to fruition.
Roman wins, and I think if Kevin Owens wins that Braun Strowman match,
he's going to steal the show.
He's going to just take the match.
He's going to steal SummerSlam.
He's going to steal SummerSlam.
100%.
He's been like one of those heel one of those heel characters on TV right now, where he's been kind of losing a lot lately, but then people are still showing a little bit of support for Kevin Owens. And it's when you lose the most is when they flip the script on you and they're like, wait a minute, he's going to get the belt. I'm just saying, it could happen.
It could happen. No, you're right. Absolutely.
So.
Okay.
Oh, man.
It happened in Ring of Honor. Happened in TNA.
God.
Now it's happening in WWE.
God.
I think no one's looking forward to this except for me.
I'm not.
And no, you're right. No one, except I'm looking forward to this. AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship. Against Samoa Joe. Here's my question.
Okay.
Why? I want Joe to win. I love AJ Styles. He's the third best wrestler in the world right now. Why should... Here's my question to you. Why should Samoa Joe win? And why shouldn't he? How about that?
Okay. Why I think Samoa Joe should win? I'll tell you why.
Yes.
Because he needs to be legitimized as a potential threat on the SmackDown roster. He has yet to win a singles title since leaving NXT. Joe is a former two-time NXT champion. Him and Shinsuke are the only two superstars to actually do that. And ever since he came to Raw, he has yet to win a singles since he came to the main roster, he has yet to win a singles title. Do I think he deserves to win? Yes. Do I think that he should have been a champion a long time ago? Yes, absolutely. That match with him and Brock Lesnar on Raw, that should have been him winning that. He made Lesnar look he looked like a legitimate threat. When was the last time? I'm going to ask you a question I'm going to answer your question with a question.
All right, Vinny Boombots.
When was the last time anybody on the current roster, I'm talking about full-time a superstar, was a legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar? Honestly.
A legitimate threat?
Samoa Joe was legit. Like, you looked at Samoa Joe and you looked at Brock and you're like, man, there's a possibility that Samoa Joe can beat the fuck out of Brock Lesnar and win this title.
Yeah.
There's nobody on the roster that can show that. I'm sorry.
Except for Joe.
Except for Joe. Okay. And that's why I think that he's gonna beat the fuck out of AJ Styles and win the WWE title. Now, you ask me, why shouldn't he win? He probably shouldn't win yet. If he shouldn't win, maybe because they probably want to prolong this feud a little bit longer. Make him win somewhere down the line. I think there's more money in the chase for AJ since he's like the biggest babyface on the roster. Have him chase Joe for the title. Maybe exchange the title a couple times throughout the year. You know? But I still think that Joe is going to win this belt and legitimize himself as a major threat on that roster.
So Joe wins.
Absolutely.
I'm going to take Joe as well.
Thank you.
And I'm taking Joe because I'm going to agree with you where you said that he deserves to finally be a legitimate badass. That his character portrays
him to be. He's a killing machine.
I understand that. He needs to stay healthy. Second of all, if he's going to stay healthy and he's going to be in the upper echelon of this fucking roster, like you said, it's got to be now. He's not getting any younger, and they're not doing it. They're not using him to his potential.
Correct.
So, 100%.
Let's keep in mind, people, me and Phil have been watching these two wrestle
about 10 years.
For like, maybe more.
Maybe 15
years? 15
years. 15 years, yeah.
These guys have gone at it multiple times. Their best, like, if any of the younger fans who are listening to us have never seen a Joe and AJ Styles match,
yeah,
go treat
yourself.
Go to TNA. Mm.
Go to Ring of Honor.
Go to YouTube. Just go to YouTube. Look up Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
You will see some of the most fantastic matches ever. Look up, if I'm not mistaken, it was 2005. Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles triple threat match for the X Division title. That was the first time the X Division title main evented a pay per view for the TNA brand.
Was that 2002?
No, 2005. Because Samoa Joe was still the Ring of Honor champion in 2004.
Yeah.
Then he moved on to TNA at that point. So check him out.
Yeah. So like I said, think about it. On paper, this looks like a promising card. Will it come to fruition? Probably not.
Probably not.
So we'll pick the good and we'll destroy the bad on next week's show. However, you can listen to this on the download, on the live feed on Friday, and also with the post show on Rant EM Radio following the event. And then, of course, the Rant guys will follow up. The Wizards will follow up. Everybody's going to have a follow-up show to SummerSlam. It's going to be a big deal. It's the biggest show of the summer. It's in Brooklyn, top of the food chain, New York City. I hope everybody enjoys it. Chop and I take a quick break. We got a really cool throwback for you that we've been trying to do since fucking May, April.
Probably since June because we wanted to do the June Pride
thing. Yeah. So you listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Phil. It's Choppy. It's Rant DM Radio. It's the Shining Wizards Network. And we'll be right back.
And I am parched.
You're parched. Be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master, the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Just to ask a question, that is Tom Morello in the background, right?
Playing Rage Against the Machine.
That was okay, but that was Tom Morello in the background. I couldn't tell if it was or not.
Yeah, this is a cover album.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's alright.
You ever hear this album?
Hell no.
I got a copy for you. They do Street Fighting Man, which is a Rolling Stone song. They do Pistol Grip Pump.
Whoa.
They do Microphone Fiend by Eric B. and Rakim. They do I'm Housin' by EPMD. It's a good fucking album. And they do a Bob Dylan song, Maggie's Farm.
What's the name of the album? I'm going to put it on my phone right now because I have it on iTunes.
Hold on a minute. I'll tell you right now. It's fucking dope, though.
One of the most underrated bands of the 90s.
They're not underrated. I feel like they did too much. It did like they didn't like what do you call it? Like that whole activist thing. They were fucking really into it, and I think it overshadowed their talent. They pissed off a lot of fucking people. They made a lot of money and pissed off a lot of people at the same time. So that's what they're not really underrated. I feel like they fucking you know what I'm saying.
I think Tom Morello did a lot for that band, and he also did a lot for Audioslave. Because
it's called Renegades.
Ooh.
No matter how hard you try, it's on there too. Yeah. So, all right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Sorry for that little
crunch wheat and pizza,
and also for the fact that we're talking about music besides wrestling.
Yeah, no, dude, this is Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, so fuck you people.
No, don't say it like that. yeah, but definitely get that.
I have it if you I'll put it on
cuz you have the thing.
Subscription.
I have the Amazon one, so same thing. So, it's pretty dope. Anyway. You ready for your throwback?
Of course.
All right, we've been doing this a long time. Let's do it up.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Well, Mm-hmm. We were going to do this for a while, but every time we went to do something, something else came up.
Correct.
And we had a lot of material this year.
So. Actually, I know why we were why we didn't do this in June.
Well, because you couldn't show up that one week.
No. It was because of Vader passing away.
That too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do a lot of shit tongue in cheek.
Yes.
And sometimes I personally beat myself up, and I'll explain. Like, we both have tons of friends in the LGBT community.
Yes, sir.
We also have relatives. I even have siblings. I have siblings and relatives. I don't know if you do. That are in the LGBT community.
Well, not that I know of. I'm sure I do, but they probably didn't come out yet.
Right. So, you know, a lot of stuff that we say is tongue-in-cheek, off-color, we fuck around. But in the last, I want to say, decade and a half, I feel like the tone of acceptance, not where it's supposed to be, not where it should be, but it made great strides.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's still places in this country that don't fucking get that love is love.
I'll tell you right now, 15 years ago, you would never caught me. I wouldn't be caught dead at a pride parade.
Yeah.
And you want to know why? Because I wasn't educated on the whole. And not to say that.
You weren't ignorant to it.
No, correct my statement. I was never homophobic. As a matter of fact, my nanny is a manny.
Yes.
I have a manny.
Watch yeah. my kid.
I actually know, I have a bunch of friends in the film industry that are gay. And it doesn't bother me. I don't care. God bless you. If you want to get married to another dude, or if you want to get married to a woman and you want to be miserable, then God bless you. Do what you got to do.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I think that now you're right. I think now today, I think it's more accepted. I don't, like, especially.
Because of education.
Of course. I think the public, at least the public here in our area, are being properly educated on the LGBT community, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, 10 years ago, if you saw a dude kissing another dude, it would just bother the fuck out of people.
Depends on where you are.
What area of the country you're in.
Correct. Not here, because it's here. Here's the thing, and I want to ask you this because your background, where your family originates. I don't know. I only know of the culture of Portugal and Portuguese people from what you tell me and what I watch on the Food Network, right? Is it accepted there as it is here? Because I know a lot of places in Europe are very open about shit. There are a lot of places in Europe that. And overseas, like Central America, South America, UK, then there are places with that are just too fucking ignorant.
I don't know if it's accepted. I'll tell you right now, 10 years ago, it was probably, like, frowned upon. Like, if you came out as, you know, gay,
it's against the law in some places, too.
It's not against...
Not where you are, but...
No, it's not against the law where we're at, but, it's got, like, families kind of frown upon it, like, oh God, you're gay, like
it's a burden.
Like, it's a burden, and, you know, how am I going to face the rest of the family when they find out? And, you know, it's kind of like an embarrassment to some people. But now, I think it's different now, because now, like, if you were talking like 10 years ago, Portugal was either white or black in terms of.
There's no gray area.
There was, like what I mean by white, there was no, like, other cultures.
Right.
It was just African-American, or I'm sorry, just Africans, and just Portuguese. And a lot of the Africans that we get were either from Angola, Mozambique, and Cape Verde. And that was it. And we had a couple of Brazilians in Brazil. Now, it's, you have Russians in Portugal. You have Arabs in Portugal. You have Chinese that speak better they speak better Portuguese than English.
What about the Russian guy?
Which guy?
For WWE. He's Asian.
Correct. Russian
commentator.
Yes. Yeah, because my country and I don't mean my country, but where my
family, where you're from, yeah,
my family originated from, it's changed a lot. Like if you go to Lisbon, the capital of Portugal, it's like New York City. It is a melting pot of cultures, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Indian people are going to Portugal. Every culture you think of that's here in New York, you'll see in Portugal now. Mm-hmm. And I think now, if you go there, it's more accepted to be gay or lesbian. I don't know about trans, but I think gay and lesbian is more than accepted now in Portugal.
Here's my point that I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. When the network first came out, WWE Network, they did the Legends House. And we knew for years that Pat Patterson was homosexual.
Correct.
Right? It was rumored, it was joked about that guys got spots because of sexual favors, that, you know, because back in the day there was no booking committees. It was just him, Vince, and I think Lanza was like the fucking three guys that booked all the shows. Pat Patterson is a very, very powerful person in sports entertainment. And when he broke down and came out, like, it wasn't a shock to anybody that's been hip to wrestling.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Right? But it struck a nerve with me. Because here's a guy who's basically a senior citizen now, who came from nothing in Montreal, okay? And fucking busted his ass at a time where it was super frowned upon to be gay, especially where he was from.
Correct.
It made it better because he went to San Francisco and cut his teeth, and that was like at that point was the gay capital of the planet at Correct. One point in the world, right? But Pat Patterson is so important to sports entertainment. He invented the Royal Rumble.
Correct.
Most of the gimmick matches that you have.
First Intercontinental Champion.
Correct.
Without him, there would be no Intercontinental title.
No. The legacy starts with Pat Patterson.
Correct. He was the measuring stick for what a Intercontinental title match should be.
Yeah.
Entertaining, lots of action, and that's what he brought to the table.
Yeah, so Patterson's backstory, we all know. He broke in Canada, got trained, went to California, teamed up with Ray Stevens.
Fantastic tag team, by the way.
Basically ran the West Coast NWA for like a gazillion years.
Yes. He was the, would you say the Hulk Hogan of San Francisco?
If Hulk Hogan of San Francisco, no.
Or the Flair.
Maybe Flair, because, I mean, you have to understand something. The West Coast had Gorgeous George. West Coast had Buddy Rogers.
Freddie Blassie.
And Freddie Blassie, right. So those are your fashion plates. The problem was Pat Patterson was not a fashion plate. Patterson was just a fucking dude who liked to fight. But he was gay as the day is long, and no one really knew it at that time.
Correct. I don't know if you've seen the documentary. It's not on the network.
No.
There's a Pat Patterson documentary, WWE made, by the way.
Well, I got the book from Tony last year for Christmas.
What's it called, My Way?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was fantastic.
There is a documentary on YouTube, but it's not. I don't know why it's not on the network. It's the weirdest thing. Look up Pat Patterson, My Way on YouTube. There's a documentary, an hour-long documentary, that details his whole career in about an hour. Maybe it's about 60 minutes.
Yeah, it's about an hour.
He explains to a lot of people that when he first moved to San Francisco, that, yes, he was in a gay town, but he couldn't be gay in his private life.
Right.
Because he was the top star of the company.
And look who he was teaming with.
And
Ray Stevens.
Correct. Ray Stevens, one of the toughest guys in wrestling.
The original Crippler, FYI.
Yes, before correct.
Before Benoit. Thank you.
So, and there was a funny story where he says that when he's actually feuding, like there was a story where he's talking about a match that him and Stevens were having together, a singles match where they're fighting each other.
Yeah, they feuded too.
Correct. Where Patterson grabs Stevens in the headlock, and one of the fans mutters, "Hey Stevens, you effing faggot!" And Patterson's like, "Oh Ray, if they only really knew." So. Yeah, it was very tough for Pat Patterson to actually do
what he did.
Be himself.
He couldn't.
He couldn't because he was a top star.
And he lived this fucking double life for a long time.
And we feel, I feel bad for the guy because...
I do. But it got him to WWE.
Yes, it did.
Because he was a good fucking wrestler. You know, and like you said it so elegantly too. Like, he was a guy that put the Intercontinental title into motion on how a champion should be. And it basically set the tone for the next 35 to 40 years of guys who held that belt
yep.
in high regard. Mm-hmm. If you look at, it's a who's who of champions. When you look at guys in hindsight who can fucking work their asses off. The Macho Mans, the Ricky Steamboats, the Chris Jerichos, the Edges.
The Bret Harts.
Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, The Rock. Like, you can go on and on and on and on. There's so many good fucking IC champions. There's some bad ones, but there were some amazing ones.
A majority of the list of champions were all really, really good workers.
Yeah. And like the IC title, the same concept was with the U.S. Championship.
Correct.
You were considered the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship. So to hold that belt and have that in that regard is a thing. A couple of years ago, I got a DVD, when I was still buying DVDs. It was the best of Madison Square Garden. Of course, I had to have it.
Yeah.
I just spoke of the Garden again for the 19,000th time in the fucking first segment of the show. And the match we're doing tonight was on there. And every couple of years, even when we were tape trading in high school, the match was talked about in high regard because of what you said. And he wasn't IC champ at the time.
He was not, no.
No.
I believe it was Ken Patera by then.
Yeah, he at this time he was transitioning into commentator, promoter.
And then backstage.
And backstage, Booker yeah. But there's so many elements to this that was so fun to follow it the way I did and to do the research I did, which is why I have this, the lucrative challenge, I called it.
Yeah.
All right.
Could you imagine the wealth of knowledge Slaughter must have gotten from working with Patterson?
Well, here's the thing, too, though. It wasn't like Slaughter just walked in here.
No, I know that.
He was a monster mid-Atlantic.
But he was polished.
Yeah, he was polished.
Very polished.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, he had not made his way to mid-Atlantic yet.
No. Oh, he was...
What, 80, this is what, 81?
This was 81. But he came in 80.
Okay.
So he was already in the AWA and all that, too, I believe.
So he hadn't been champions with... what's his name? Tag team champions with...
Oh, no, not Don Knurdle. That was right after this.
Correct. That's what I thought.
That was the final conflict with Steamboat and Youngblood.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, oof. Listen to that episode. That's a fun episode me and Dave did. Dave and I. All right. So we know Sergeant Slaughter, Robert Remus, right?
Yes.
He first arrived in WWF in 1980.
Wow.
Managed by the great late Grand Wizard Ernie Roth.
Ernie Roth, yeah.
Do your homework. One of the greatest managers that was short-lived.
Yeah, I think he died because of cancer. He was a smoker.
But he was so good. He was...
He managed a lot of guys.
Yeah, he... If he would have lived a little longer, he would have been right in that, boom, 85, 80. So right there with Jimmy Hart and all those guys. So Slaughter gained the reputation of being a bully.
Yes.
Telling fans and wrestlers stand at attention, chin up, shoulder straight, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the fans started chanting Gomer because he called them maggots.
Yeah.
You know, at ease, maggots. But Slaughter was brutal. He was a stiff, big, rough, tough dude.
He weighed about, what, 300 pounds?
At least 320.
Oh,
God. He's a big fucking dude. He was just massive.
And he was like 6'4".
He's a massive man.
Big man.
Massive man. Nothing in Sarge's arsenal, though, was more effective than the patented submission hold.
The Cobra Clutch.
The Cobra Clutch, correct. And when applied properly, you're going to sleep.
Correct.
Okay. So here's where Sarge and the Grand Wizard decided to up the ante in the winter of 1981. Any wrestler who could break out of the Camel Clutch would receive $5,000, which is a lot of money back then.
Yes.
Now, one would think that that type of incentive wrestlers would be fucking lining up at the door, right? And, you know, a few did. The late, great Rick McGraw, Quick Rick McGraw, one of Kevin Castle's favorite wrestlers, was a mainstay, job guy, WWE. Yep. He tried. He couldn't escape it.
Nope.
Poor Rick. He didn't finish.
Fuck him.
No. You're an asshole. One man tested him, and that was the very first IC champion, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Pat Patterson. Patterson at that time, like I told Chopper before, was settling into his role as ringside commentator, part-time wrestler. He was interviewing Slaughter and the Grand Wizard, and who happened to be Patterson's former manager, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Okay. On Championship Wrestling on Saturday night, and said that the $5,000 Cobra Clutch Challenge was first announced. Slaughter started taunting Patterson, throwing insults in his way, daring him. Patterson tried hard not to acknowledge, but Slaughter could try, you know, talk the blonde bomber. That's what we call Patterson, the blonde bomber, into taking the challenge. The Grand Wizard even told Patterson that if he could break the Cobra Clutch, he would receive double the money. So 10 G's was on the line now, Choppy. March 1981 episode of Championship Wrestling. After weeks of trying, Patterson finally had enough. So the Cobra Clutch Challenge starts. There's one, so $10,000 in balance, right? Slaughter would take out another guy, another jobber. His challenger then was this 285 masked person called the Black Demon. A large enough man who can give, you know, Sergeant Slaughter a struggle, but Slaughter was applying the hold. Demon stood up. Sergeant Slaughter waved off, hightailed it to the showers. Sarge was out of his mind, mad. The Grand Wizard, he stopped by Pat Patterson, who attempted to interview Slaughter. Next, what happened, Slaughter said, "I said this might be last time I wrestle again." The guy got up and said, left to see an opportunity. Slaughter told Patterson, "He's yellow, just like you." Patterson tried to keep his focus on the interview, obviously.
Yeah.
Slaughter hauls off, smacks Patterson right in the fucking face. As he turns to leave, what does Patterson do? Grabs him by the shoulder, point to the ring, tell him he had enough, basically. Allentown, Pennsylvania was the spot.
Yep.
Fans going crazy. Patterson enters the ring, ready to take on Slaughter's challenge. Slaughter's reluctant, plays the heel, obviously. Gets in the ring, applies the hold on Patterson after spending minutes of testing it. Slaughter was finally ready. $10,000. Slaughter moves in, applies the clutch on Patterson. Patterson rose from the chair, started getting momentum, puts up a struggle, trying every method to break it, obviously. Even kicking the turnbuckles, flipping him over, like running Slaughter towards him. No matter what he tried, Slaughter held on to it. However, Sarge was starting to get weak. It showed whenever Patterson had another means of escape. Finally, after several minutes, Patterson did fucking had Slaughter in a weakened state. He tried to pry his arms out of the hold. Patterson slowly forced himself out of the clutch. But just when he seemed to do it, was about to become $10,000 richer, obviously, Slaughter hit Patterson in the midsection.
Yep.
Enraged. Slaughter was pissed. Hits him over the head with a chair. Busted his head open. Now Patterson's busted. Slaughter then takes Dick Worley, former referee Dick Worley, rest in peace, the late great Dick Worley. Was only one of the referee dolls that the LGN made back in the day. It beat him so bad. Tito Santana comes out. Tony Garea, Rick Martel, Dominic DiNucci. Like, all these guys tried to get Slaughter off Patterson. DiNucci was able to fight Slaughter off, though, with several chair shots of his own. Dominic DiNucci, Pittsburgh's own.
Tough man.
Yeah, trainer of Cactus Jack and Shane Douglas. Yeah. Yep. So, and then Patterson has to be hauled away by Gorilla Monsoon. So after the brutal attack, Patterson demanded to face Slaughter 101 in the ring. That takes me to April 6th, 1981, Madison Square Garden. So the book goes double disqualification, right? The rule book we know is going to be a non-issue at this point, right? But they called it. They called it an alley fight. They didn't call it hardcore.
Yeah,
alley fight,
yep.
Right. Here's the match. So, Howard Finkel explains to the Garden crowd there'll be no referee. Okay, there'll be no holds barred. After ring introductions were made, Patterson arrived for combat, sporting a baseball cap and what else?
Fucking a skin tight "I Love You New York" T-shirt. Oh my god, that shirt was it two sizes smaller?
Yes, definitely two sizes smaller. We laughed so hard in the car on the way home today that I was telling Choppy that back in the day, you could still buy them now. When you guys come to visit New York and you go to one of these little shops in Times Square, the tourist shops.
Yeah, you people.
No. I'm joking. Not you people, anybody.
Tourists, I mean.
Tourists. Yeah, you fucking animal. When you come to visit our fair city, you can go to any of these tourist shops and you'll see these T-shirts. I Love New York, 5 for $10.
Yeah, you'll see your local Jafar selling up. Selling I Love New York T-shirts.
So when you buy the shirts, they figure $5 for $10. Your whole family from Nebraska now has a fucking I Love New York T-shirt. But here's the problem: these shirts are really terribly made. So when you go to wash them and dry them, either they shrink and well, they just fall apart.
Magic, Jafar. See?
And he wore cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get that, but then...
Well, yeah. Slaughter wears the fatigues, you know. But Patterson used every part of his gear, man. Every
belt.
Part of his gear.
He's the belt.
Fucking boots. He used the boots belt. On him. I have like the whole match. I don't know where you want me to get into. Like, what do you want to get into? Like,
do the middle of the match. Do what's the? Because I believe the boots are towards the end of the match, right?
Well, yeah, but there's a. I mean, he used several times.
Yeah, I know, but
hold on a minute.
You pick.
I will. All right. So Patterson's on the floor outside the ring. Slaughter climbs the ropes in an attempt to possibly jump on his rival. But Slaughter thought better of it, climbed down. Instead, Slaughter reaches out and punches Patterson in the face. Rams his head into the ring apron. Patterson climbs back in. Slaughter attempts to continue the assault until time came for the defining moment of the match. Okay. So Patterson grabs Slaughter by the legs, drops him on his back, and then into a slingshot position. Remember this?
Okay.
Patterson sends Slaughter head first into the steel ring post.
Mm-hmm.
The result, Slaughter's now juiced.
Crimson mask.
Crimson mask, correct. Slaughter is bleeding head, face, chest, neck area, Jerky Boy style, right?
Yep.
Patterson gains a second wind, starts hammering away on Slaughter, freshly deep wound, bloodied but not beaten. Slaughter then reaches into his bag of tricks and low blows Patterson right in the cookies, all right? He falls to the canvas. Slaughter reaches into his pants, pulls out a pair of brass knucks.
Yeah, man.
Here we go. But he was so woozy from the blood loss and blinded by the crimson mask in his eyes, he starts flailing around aimlessly, hitting nothing but air. This is awesome. This is great. Slaughter eventually finds Patterson, clonks him with the knucks, right? But Slaughter wasn't able to stand on his own. He was losing so much blood. Patterson makes it to his feet. And twice blocks Slaughter's punches, lands two of his own. Patterson took Slaughter, threw him into the turnbuckle, into the top of another ring post. The fans are, at this point, fucking...
At a fever pitch.
Yeah, fever pitch. Patterson removes the cowboy boot. There you go. Like Choppy said. And then smashes Slaughter in the head with it. Patterson follows up again by throwing Slaughter over the buckle into the top of the ring post twice. Patterson then beats on Slaughter with the boot until the Sarge... falls into the ropes like an Andre style. Patterson rams the former drill sergeant into the ring post again. Slaughter falls to the floor, takes out the ringside cameraman, if you remember that.
Yep.
Slaughter climbs back into the ring apron, hung onto the ropes with all he has. Patterson just bludgeons him with the booty again. Slaughter's manager now, Grand Wizard, runs to ringside waving the white towel over his head. He threw it in the ring, signaling the surrender, but Patterson continued to beat Slaughter, would not stop. So Slaughter and Sarge actually get a couple of shots in until referee Gilberto Roman comes in and orders for the bell to be rung at 14 minutes and 13 seconds, which is probably the longest 14 minutes and 13 seconds of my life because it felt like this match went on for like an hour.
I agree with you. I feel like this match was really, really long. And then when you find out that it's only, like, what, 15 minutes at top?
14, 13.
Yeah. You're just like, Why did it feel like it was so? But it was a good match.
No, yeah, 100%.
Great match. I agree with you. I feel like it was like 30 minutes, maybe, if that.
Patterson wins the fight. He's declared the winner.
Yep.
Right. Garden's crazy. One of the bloodiest matches ever held at that time.
Yes.
In the Garden, by the way. The Grand Wizard pleaded with Slaughter not to go back in the ring. Sarge stumbles back into the dressing room area. And Patterson's in the ring in front of a standing room only crowd of Madison Square Garden. Okay. So there you go. There's the match. Here's the aftermath. So Patterson, like Choppy and I said, performs duties. Retired from the ring in the mid-80s. He was a WWE Hall of Fame inducted member in 96. Made his return to television in the 90s. He was one of the Stooges. Of course, Sergeant Slaughter would come back in 84 as a fan favorite. Fought the Sheik and Volkoff. And then he became a heel again during Desert Storm when he won the WWE Championship at the Rumble
from 1991.
Ultimate Warrior hit him in the head with the scepter. Or Savage hit him in the head with the scepter.
Leave the crystal in the head. Fucking old
Hogan word. Beat him in WrestleMania 7, I believe it was.
Yes, WrestleMania 7.
And then Slaughter worked as a commissioner from 97 to 98.
Yep.
With DX. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2004.
Yep, with a really good class, by the way.
Yeah, who was in that class?
Orndorff,
yeah.
Who else? Big John Studd.
Yeah.
A lot of guys.
So both men actually are good friends in real life, from what I read.
They are very good friends, yes.
And they are both all too aware of the hatred they once had for each other. Patterson is still waiting for his $10,000 payoff, of course. That's what I said. I figured that, you know.
Oh, Ernie Roth, you know, just... He's a bagel.
He's a what?
He's a bagel.
Oh, is he? You fucking racist. You fucking racist pain in the ass.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Okay, terrific.
I mean, come on. When has one have ever gotten their money back from... Oh, God.
Stop.
Will you stop?
Okay.
You ready want to have a good laugh?
Yeah, sure.
You want to hear the rest of the card?
Sure, please.
Did you know the rest of the card?
No, I don't. I just know this match.
Oh!
God, I can't wait to hear this.
Your opening card match. SD Jones beats Johnny Rods.
No! Johnny lost?
Wait. This went longer than the fucking street fight.
Stop.
15:36.
Why?
I don't know.
Johnny Rods lost to SD Jones? Ugh.
The Great Yatsu.
Who the fuck is the Great Yatsu?
Defeated the Hangman.
Page? Adam Page?
No, Page. Grandpa Page.
Okay, Grandpa Page.
This must have been... This was the 4 minutes, 26 seconds. Pedro Morales retains the Intercontinental Championship, defeating Killer Khan.
Ooh, okay.
Dominic DiNucci defeated Baron Michael Cicluna. He was another heel.
How old was Dominic DiNucci? Like 50 at this point?
Probably 104 at that point. The High Chief... Grandpa Rock,
okay.
Peter Maivia defeated the late great Quick Rick McGraw.
Oh God!
Shout out to Kevin Castle.
Shout out, Kev.
For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Angelo Mosca defeated Bob Backlund.
Angelo Mosca
didn't win the belt, but he won by DQ.
Wait, I know Angelo Mosca was still wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep. 13:51. Okay. And then Patterson. I thought Patterson Slaughter were the main event.
That's what I thought.
They weren't.
Who was the main event?
They'll get to it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You ready for this match?
Go.
Kid Chocolate.
Who?
Midget. Kid Chocolate teams up with the late, great Skylo Low.
Oh, God.
You ready for this?
Go.
And they lost to the Carolina Kid. And Farmer Jerome.
What?
There's not even a time on this.
That was a main event?
No, that was the midget match.
Oh. Why can't I say midgets?
I'm sorry, little people.
Yeah, fucking jerk.
Your main event.
Oh, God.
Captain Lou Albano. Moondog Rex.
Oh, God.
And Stan the Lariat Hansen.
Okay.
In a best of 2 out of 3 fall 6-man match. Lost to Tony Garea.
Okay.
Rick Martel.
Okay.
And Gorilla Monsoon.
Okay, that's a good main event.
So Lou Albano, Rex, and Hansen were disqualified at 11:39, and then Gorilla Monsoon pinned Moondog for the win. This was when the Moondogs were, I think they were tag champions after this, one of Albano's many tag team champions at that time.
With all due respect to all that talent that was on that card, Patterson and Slaughter drew that fucking card.
Bro. Seriously?
What the fuck, man?
Dude, I want to see footage of this fucking Angelo Mosca, Bob Backlund 13-minute fucking title match.
The classic?
Dude, Angelo Mosca can go.
I know
he I don't can. Know how old he was in 1981, but...
He's 50!
Has to be.
Hold on, I gotta look this up. Angelo Mosca in 1981, hold on,
let's look it up.
Hold up, I'm looking it up right now. Angelo... Mosca.
Okay. He was born 1937.
Oh, he had to be. Okay, so by 77.
So 1937 minus.
So by 77, he was 40.
Is he still alive?
He is.
Holy shit, dude. He played pro football?
He did.
For the CFL?
Yes, he did.
And he played for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I didn't know that. 6'4", 275, played defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
So, by 77, he was 40.
Holy
by
fuck.
By 81, he was 44.
And Backlund was what, his 30s at that point?
Backlund was 32.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. How let me see. Dominic DiNucci.
So, I tell you, Angelo Mosca won championships all over the NWA, FYI. He won the NWA Florida Tag Championship with Bobby Duncombe.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Southern Heavyweight Champion once. He was the Florida Bahamian when the Bahama region was a thing going on back then. Georgia Heavyweight Champion. Canadian NWA Toronto. 5 times. Mid-Atlantic Television Champion, Brass Knucks Champ, Stampede, wrestled the Stampede for Stu Hart. He was their champion. He was fucking Caribbean WWC. Insane. He also won the Worst Television Announcer Award in 1984.
All right, so you want to know how old Dominic DiNucci was in 1981? 49 years old.
Holy shit, dude.
49 years old.
This card must have sucked the fucking... But it sucked the life out of the crowd, but that fucking crowd was so lit for...
I mean, look at the Mitchell wrestlers. Was it Face Chocolate? What was his name? Chocolate Face?
No, it's Kid Chocolate. You fucking racist prick.
What about... Kid Chocolate on Chocolate Face? I don't know.
Will you stop?
And then what was the other guy? Jerome King? What was his name? Farmer Jerome? Was Jerome Black? I don't know. What?
Did you say name?
Was he a Negro? I don't know.
Yes.
He was.
Yes.
What was his last name?
Who?
Jerome.
Farmer Jerome? I don't know his fucking last
Maybe
name.
Maybe his first name was Farmer and his last name was Jerome?
Hold on. Now I have to look it up. Because you're a fucking racist.
No, I'm not.
You are racist.
No, I'm not.
He's like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. No.
He's like, I didn't do it. It's Butthead.
Look, I'm not racist. I have a lot of black friends.
Oh, you're one of those fucking guys? I got a lot of black friends.
No, Farmer Jerome was not black.
You sure about that?
Farmer Jerome... well, that's what I get for Farmer Jerome. Look what I get.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't know what he was.
What was he? He looked like your everyday Mook.
Everyday Mook.
He looked like a midget with Down syndrome.
Hmm. Well, Kid Chocolate was black.
Well, good for him. Good for him.
He was definitely black.
I mean...
I have pictures of him right here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Gary Coleman was still taller than he was, but...
That's funny, actually.
Who knows? Maybe that was Gary Coleman.
Wow.
What?
You're out of your mind, dude.
How am I out of my mind? What are you talking about? You're out of your mind. What about the Bicycle Man and trying to get poor...
Poor Dudley in the tub?
Yeah, what was that? Well, poor Weasel ended up in the tub with Mr. Bicycle Man.
Fucking, I think we're done.
Well, no, we're not.
We're not? No?
We're not done. Okay. Weasel.
He became Weasel, yes, on Family Matters.
How come he didn't... Okay, how come his height didn't change that much from fucking Different Strokes to Family Matters?
Maybe he has... Maybe him being molested stunted his growth.
No, maybe he kissed fucking Arnold and he got the same disease as Arnold.
Wow! Wow, dude! Are you serious right now? Holy shit!
Yeah, him and Arnold got the Webster disease.
Wow.
Gary Coleman, God rest your soul, I'm sorry. What? Maybe the Bicycle Man made Dudley and Arnold kiss, and that's how Arnold, you know, Dudley, you know, Weasel ended up short.
I think we're done.
No, we're not.
No?
We're not done.
Okay, good.
Fuck, man. Kid Chocolate?
Kid... Dude, it was 1981.
Kid Chocolate?
That was his name.
Could there be any more racist name than Kid Chocolate?
Maybe it was just held over from when that stuff was accepted. Remember, listen, all the 70s shows and stuff like
How
that.
How about Midget Kunta?
Midget Kunta.
What the fuck was that? Really? Vince Sr., Kid Chocolate? Kid Chocolate. How about calling him Milk Dud?
Holy shit.
How about calling him Giblet for all I fucking... Kid Chocolate.
Oh, Christ, Lord of Cracker, help me.
Please, Kid Lord. Chocolate?
Lord, take the wheel. Lord, take the wheel, Jesus.
Kid Chocolate?
That was his name, dude.
God damn, couldn't have picked something better?
I was so happy I saved this for you because I wasn't going to tell you in the car when I got the fucking... I thought I was going to read it. I was like, nah, I'll save it for the show.
Kid Chocolate.
That was... Dude,
nah. Farmer Jerome I'm okay with. That's fine, but... Kid Chocolate?
Yeah. Well, look at the other guy. Little Tokyo they had. Little Beaver.
Well...
But they were all...
But Little Tokyo looks all the same to everyone, all the other...
But, dude, stop. Little Beaver, they fucking gave the Indian dude a mohawk and feathers and shit.
They did?
Yeah. You remember Little Beaver from WrestleMania 3? Remember Bundy killed him?
I mean...
When Bundy killed those little people?
I actually thought that fucking Chief J Strongbow had stunted more of his growth, and that... I thought that was Strongbow. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Well, Jesus is not a midget. I'm sorry. Okay? So leave Jesus out of this.
Jesus!
Okay. See, this is why you think I'm a racist all the time. I'm not racist. I like to point shit out.
Kid Chocolate? I knew you'd get a kick out of that.
What would he say? What would be his term?
Spear checker.
No! He'd be like, you know what? Chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hands, motherfuckers. That would be his line, his catchphrase.
Okay, terrific.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. In 1981.
Could you imagine if he was like a character on a video game?
Can you imagine if this was 2018?
He would be on TV.
No, he wouldn't. Not as Kid Chocolate.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely. He would be part of the New Day. He'd be Bootio. He'd be the Bootio. See? I redeemed myself.
You did.
A little bit.
You did.
What about El Torito? El Torito was a fucking racist gimmick.
Yeah, it's true.
A midget bull?
Yeah.
And what about the Puerto Ricans playing Mexicans?
This is true.
I mean, are all Latinos made to look like assholes on TV? Except, aside from Eddie. Eddie didn't look like an asshole on TV.
Or Chavito. Well, no, they gave Chavito that golf gimmick, right?
They did. They made him
Kerwin White.
With Dolph Ziggler as his caddy.
That was fantastic. Mm. I loved it.
You did?
It was funny as shit. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in wrestling.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out to be anything, obviously, but...
Yeah, but
you know who everybody was, and it was fucking funny as hell.
Chavo wasn't that good anyways.
You don't like Chavo?
Fuck Chavo.
Wow. I didn't know you didn't like Chavo.
I hate Chavo Guerrero.
I never knew that.
Oh, he's dreadful.
He's not dreadful, dude.
He's the most boring out of all the Guerreros. I think Mondo had more charisma than fucking Chavo.
Mm.
His father had more charisma. Even his father, when he was Chavo Classic, had more charisma than Chavo.
Love Chavo Classic.
He was great.
I love the Chavo Classic.
But, wasn't it good? Eddie on the other.
That's Apples and oranges, friend.
And
apples
Hector, and oranges. And Hector looked exactly like Eddie.
Yeah.
Exactly like Eddie.
Which one was laser tag? That was Mondo, right?
I thought it was Hector.
One of them was fucking Boogie Woogie Man's partner in the fucking Crockett Club. Crockett Cup.
Oh, yeah. Who was,
Laser tag. Fucking 80s wrestling was awesome.
There was, what about Tito Santana's finishing with the flying burrito?
No. Ventura called the flying burrito.
Oh, that's what he called it?
Yeah, that wasn't his fucking finisher.
So, wait a minute. So, Tatanka's finishing move wasn't the Trail of Tears?
No. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Will you stop? Wow, we got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
His move wasn't the tomahawk?
Yes, but they didn't. Well, they called it the chop. Didn't they, tomahawk chop?
No, I thought it wasn't the Samoan drop the Trail of Tears. Seriously?
I'm not sure.
I could have sworn it was.
It might be. I'm not. If it was, that's really fucking racist.
What about the Men on a Mission? They were like fucking.
Yeah.
That was a very racist gimmick, too.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's for another show. That's for another episode.
What about the Street Profits?
I love the Street Profits. I like the gimmick. I don't like.
I like Montez Ford. I don't like Dawkins. Dawkins from Jersey, by the way.
He most certainly is.
He's a piece of shit, by the way.
He's a piece of shit. How do you know that? You know him? Probably do.
No, I don't.
You sure about that? You're from fucking Newark.
That's from Jersey City. That's totally different. Okay. Jersey City's like the armpit, or no, the asshole of Newark.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
It's all the shit goes there.
All the shit goes to Camden.
No.
Because Camden's like fucking South Bronx with a waterfront.
No, Camden is like...
Camden's the fucking shithole.
I feel safer in South Bronx than I do in Camden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel safer in Brownsville than I do in Camden.
Well, now you do as the fucking hipsters in Brownsville.
No, I feel safer in East New York than I do in Camden.
Okay. That's... Wow.
I've been in areas of Newark where it makes Jersey Street and Staten Island look like Toad Hill.
Yeah, I believe that.
So...
I believe that.
Yeah.
We ready?
It's up to you.
I want to go.
You want to go? To the bathroom?
Well, that too.
You going to drop some kid chocolates in the toilet?
I'm going to take the Browns, take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
You want to take the kids to the pool? Drop the kids off at the pool?
Oh, man.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm sorry for being an asshole.
Yeah, no, you're not.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
What the fuck is this?
It's my girl.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
I'm joking. I feel bad. No, I don't. No, yes, I do.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
Anyway. All right. So.
Yes.
We had a productive episode. Got a lot off our chest. Found out you're more of a racist than I thought.
Fuck you. Fucking jerk.
We're back next week. Same bad time. Same bad channel. Don't forget to support the other shows on The Rant. Shining Wizards Network. All of our stuff on social media. Instagram is blowing up right now.
We're up to 502 followers right now.
Crazy.
Yeah, that Mook German is doing a great job.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, Mook German is great.
Mook German. I want to thank everybody who's been supporting us, and especially Nick and all the crew behind the scenes. We had a lot going on, so we apologize for not being on. We do and we don't.
It's called life, people.
Yeah.
It's called...
We were missed. I can tell you that.
We were missed. I didn't miss any of those people, but we were missed. I'm joking.
We'll be back next Friday. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yes, we are.
Go to all the websites. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantEMRadio.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Tell your friends to follow us on Instagram.
Buy a t-shirt.
Buy the t-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks.
If you're in Chicago for All In, let us know.
Please let us know.
All right.
Go to the Pro Wrestling Tees store and buy a Turnbuckle Throwbacks shirt.
That's right. That's right. So on behalf of my tag team partner, Chopsta, I'm the Impact Player Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all, take care of yourselves, each other, invest in your future, in your life, in your family, in your friends.
See.
And don't be an asshole like Choppy.
Oh, fuck you. Listen. There's another name besides asshole for Choppy. It's Gypsy now.
And I'm going to get a jar of your tears to
Bumbleo!
Save me from AIDS.
Yeah, wow. Whoa.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Whoa there, heavy boy.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight, Gracie.
I don't want to get the AIDS. Goodnight.
The hip.